This is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, Elon Musk is in at Twitter, and he is firing everyone as he pledged to do, and I am here for it. I think everybody else who's been on Twitter for the past several years and is not a wild leftist bent is here for it as well. Twitter's moderation has been a bleep show for a very long time. They've been banning people willy-nilly right and left. People ranging from Alex Jones to the Babylon Bee to Jordan Peterson for a wide variety of unspecified crimes. They can never quite be specific enough as to what exactly was violated. Their standards are incredibly loose. Somehow, the Ayatollah Khamenei, he's fine while he's railing about how the Jews should be destroyed. But somehow, Jordan Peterson is banned for saying that men cannot be women. Twitter's content moderation policies have basically been a weapon on behalf of the left. And what it's meant is that everybody has to skirt all of their rules. So there are things that you just can't say on Twitter. So, for example, when there was controversy over whether ivermectin was a good treatment for COVID-19, you couldn't even claim that ivermectin was a good treatment for COVID-19, even though it did work for a lot of people and is still controversial as to how well ivermectin works. You still could not say, even though the evidence showed that widespread masking did not stop the transmission of the virus. You weren't allowed to say that vaccines were not effective in stopping the transmission of the virus. These are things that you were not allowed to say on Twitter. And if you said them on Twitter, then you would immediately have your account suspended. The number of personal friends that I have who have been suspended from Twitter is incredibly high. And we're talking about people who are not wild-eyed people. We're talking about people like Dave Rubin. We're talking about Babylon Bee, Libs of TikTok, Jordan Peterson. Like, all these people have been suspended or banned outright from Twitter. Well, now Elon Musk is back. He is in charge, and he is firing everyone as well he should. He said he was going to fire 75% of the staff. And frankly, I think that's low. He needs to go a little bit higher than that, because the simple fact of the matter is Twitter is a bloated bureaucracy. It's filled with people who had jobs like diversity, equity, and inclusion manager. It is a platform. It is a platform for speech. Elon Musk understands that. Now, Elon Musk did say yesterday, and he is correct, that this does not mean that there are no standards at Twitter. It's not as though you should be able to get on Twitter and actively threaten violence against other human beings. And it's even possible that Elon Musk has his own Overton window. Right? The Overton window is the window of acceptable speech. And we all have it, right, in our own lives. There are certain people we don't want to be friends with and we don't want over at our houses because their opinions are just too vile, right? You wouldn't want a skinhead Nazi over at your house with your kids because your Overton window is personally not big enough to encompass that. Nor, in my opinion, should it be. You should not be forced to have that person over at your house. And if you own a platform like Twitter, presumably there will be an Overton window beyond which there are certain opinions that are just too far. They just go too far. But those should be as close to the legal line of free speech as humanly possible, meaning that there are certain things that are not protected by free speech in the United States. And pornography is really not protected by free speech in the United States. And we like to pretend that it is, but historically speaking, it just was not. The idea of a violent threat, that is not protected. Full-on defamation is not protected by free speech in the United States. Well, if you're a platform, what you should try to do is hew as close to the First Amendment line as humanly possible, because, indeed, that is what you were created to do. If the whole idea of Twitter is that it was a digital town square, then treat it like a digital town square, meaning that it is a neutral forum for discussion. And that's going to include crazy people who are over there on the side, standing on an Apple box and shouting at everybody. It will. The good news is that unlike that town square where that person is noise polluting, in the digital town square, you have a mute button and you have the ability to algorithmically shape what it is that you wish to see. And I think that Elon Musk understands this. So the hue and cry at Twitter is just insane. People at Twitter are weeping openly online. You're seeing people from the left, the people in the media who are just we're going to abandon tour. We're going to run screaming from this place. What are we going to do? We're going to have to leave. Taylor Lorenz, of course, one of the worst actors online. She's leading that charge. Hilariously, she's actually like, you know, I need to tweet out my Substack so people can see my stuff over there. Substack is also a free speech platform where a bunch of people Taylor Lorenz hates are, including libs of TikTok, by the way. Well, now, according to the Associated Press, Musk has taken control of Twitter and ousted the CEO, CFO, and the company's top lawyer, two people familiar with the deal, said Thursday night. The people wouldn't say if all the paperwork for the deal had been signed or if the deal had been closed. They said Musk is in charge of the social media platform. He fired CEO Parag Agrawal, CFO Ned Segal, and chief legal counsel Vijaya Gadde. Neither person wanted to be identified because of the sensitive nature of the deal. Now, you saw Vijaya Gadde just get absolutely eviscerated on one episode of Joe Rogan. Tim Pool just destroyed her on Joe Rogan, right? Just asking her about how exactly you make these decisions as to what is bannable and what is not. She had no answers whatsoever. Agrawal has presided over the widespread feeling that Twitter is a forum for the left, and if you say anything that violates the most strictly held standards, then you will be banned. A few hours after the firing, Musk tweeted, "The bird has been freed." You know, just from a pure objective level, Musk is a lot of fun. I mean, is it okay to say that a billionaire is fun? I know that we're supposed to believe that billionaires are very dour or world-controlling. They'll have to be do-gooders like Bill Gates, who I guess is having fun on the side of his pool house. But aside from that, he's supposed to be, you know, a person who's out there to, you know, very serious people. I love the fact that Musk is not totally serious. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing for the world. The departures came just hours before a deadline set by a Delaware judge to finalize the deal on Friday. She threatened to schedule a trial if no agreement was reached. Although they came quickly, the major personnel moves have been widely expected. They are almost certainly the first of many changes the Tesla CEO will make. Musk privately clashed with Agrawal in April, immediately before deciding to make a bid for the company, according to text messages later revealed in court filings. About the same time, he used Twitter to criticize Gadde, the company's top lawyer. His tweets were followed by a wave of harassment of Gadde from other Twitter accounts. Like, this is one of the garbage lines the media like to use, is that if you tweet about somebody, and then a lot of people don't like what that person said, and they harass that person, that's your fault. Okay, as probably one of the most harassed people on Twitter, I've never complained about that, because guess what? I've got a mute button. I have the ability to not look at Twitter. I have many, Twitter is a wonderful outlet for me to be able to tweet my thoughts. It's also a place filled with stupid people and annoying people. And you know what I'm able to do? I've never called for a single person to be banned from Twitter. I have not, because I have a thing. It is called a mute button, and I can use it whenever I please. For Gadde, an 11-year Twitter employee who also heads public policy and safety, the harassment included racist and misogynist attacks, in addition to calls for Musk to fire her. On Thursday, after she was fired, the harassing tweets lit up once again. And this notion that you are responsible, if you criticize a person and a bunch of other people decide to act in bad fashion against that person, you are then responsible for this? This ends political speech in the United States. Because guess what? We all criticize each other. And yes, there are a bunch of people out there who act in stupid fashion and then harass those people. Does that mean that you are responsible for the harassment? This is the game that the media love to play. The media are particularly angry here because you have to understand what the game here was, particularly for the mainstream media when it comes to these big social media platforms like Facebook or like Twitter. And it's true for all of them. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, like the media have their standard. A little bit more on this in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Here is what happened. Back in the 1970s and 1980s, there were only 3 major media outlets, the TV outlets. And you had some newspapers, like the New York Times and the Washington Post. Nothing else had mass readership. Then the rise of the Internet happened in the 1990s, particularly the late 1990s, started by Drudge Report. Then all of a sudden, you had a wide variety of outlets that people could access for their news. And I'm old enough to remember the beginnings of the news Internet in the late 1990s, early 2000s, when suddenly everybody could get their information from different places. And the way that you would access that information typically is you would bookmark like 10 pages. And nobody has ever used a bookmark in the next generation. I'm talking about my generation, the millennials. The millennials, what we would do is we would actually just bookmark like 10 pages. You'd go in the morning and you'd check. You'd go to your bookmark for Fox News, your bookmark for Drudge Report, your bookmark for Town Hall or Hot Air. Right? This is what you would do. Then these big social media platforms sprang up and they started garnering billions of eyeballs. And so all of these news outlets started to move their feed onto the social media platforms. These became the place where you would access your news. So from now on, if you wanted your cultivated news feed, it was much simpler than hitting 10 different bookmarks to just have a cultivated news feed that brought up all the news you otherwise would see. And there was some algorithmic programming that allowed you to see some news that maybe you hadn't clicked on before. That's the way that the news feed worked. And the same thing was true of Twitter, right? You would follow all the accounts of those people you were already bookmarking, and then you would get the news from Twitter. But what this allowed is for the possibility, because it was all via Facebook or all via Twitter or all via Instagram, it allowed for the possibility that all of those major outlets could just turn the spigot, and suddenly all the places that you were following would just be silenced. And suddenly you were getting your news, again, from the mainstream media. All the people that you had been attempting to avoid for 20 years, suddenly you were getting your news from them again. You had to hear from the Washington Post or the New York Times. You couldn't hear from Daily Wire or from Breitbart or from any of the other right-wing outlets that you normally would follow. And the mainstream media loved this. This was their favorite thing in the entire world. They loved it because it reestablished a media monopoly that they had lost with the rise of the internet. And naturally, this ticked a lot of people off. And one of those people was Elon Musk. And you ticked off the wrong billionaire. Because it turns out that it's going to be hilarious because 100 years from now, when the history of the United States is written, an inflection point is going to be Twitter banning the Babylon Bee for a headline about how men are not women. That's an actual historical inflection point. That's it. Because the left got so crazy over their skis on this. They got so bullying and vicious to the heads of the social media companies that the heads of the social media companies decided that they were basically going to crack down on anything that violated left-wing scruples. Because that's what happened here. I mean, if you actually look at the difference from what Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, used to say about free speech, to what he started to say about free speech about 5 years into his tenure at Twitter, if you look at the difference between how Mark Zuckerberg used to talk about free speech versus how Mark Zuckerberg talked about free speech just a couple of years later, you can see a radical shift that happened. Both Dorsey and Zuckerberg, they used to talk about free speech in exactly the same terms that I'm talking about free speech. It should be the broadest possible window that allows for all people to have conversations, and if you don't like it, you can turn it off. I keep citing the speech that Zuckerberg gave at Georgetown in 2018, I believe, in which he talked about this, right? He openly talked about we need to have a broad platform for speech. I'm not the great arbiter of what's true and what's not. It is not my job to determine what you should see and what you should not see because you're an adult. And then, because of all the pressure that was brought to bear in the aftermath of the election of Donald Trump, all of these social media companies collapsed. Because you started to see Democrats and members of the media start blaming all of these social media companies for all the ills of the world. And all these social media companies, which were treated up till then as wonderful, wonderful things, because after all, these wonderful, wonderful social media companies had allowed for things like the Arab Spring. You remember this? Or they'd allowed for the election of Barack Obama. Remember, all of the talk in 2012 was about how genius the Obama team was for manipulating the data via Facebook in order to win re-election. It was a genius team. Then, of course, when Trump's team did it with Cambridge Analytica, then all these social media platforms became super bad. And Facebook then became very bad. So in the aftermath of Trump being elected, which was a world-shattering event for the left, they started to push really hard on the social media networks. Because it couldn't be that Hillary lost because she was a crap candidate or because she did a bad job. She must have lost because the social media networks had been penetrated by the Ruskies. Or the social media networks were too broad-minded. And, you know, free speech is a real dangerous thing. Free speech could be undermined by free speech. And so they started to clamp down. And the social media bros, because they were weak-kneed, also started to clamp down. Right? They pressed on that pressure to the user. Yet Dianne Feinstein openly threatening Mark Zuckerberg, senator from California, saying, if you don't regulate yourself, we will regulate you. And so Zuckerberg and team would say to these legislators, okay, fine, please regulate us, right? Create a system of regulation that makes for an even playing field. And Democrats saying, no, it's up to you. You have to please us. Dance to our tune. And many of these social media platforms did. And then along came Elon Musk. And Elon Musk said, I'm not going to dance to that tune. I think that your tune is stupid. I think that your tune is monopolistic. And this is why the panic has set in. This is why the media are now attempting to treat Elon Musk as though he is some sort of threat to freedom. I love their line. Their line is Elon Musk is a threat to freedom. Billionaires in charge of major platforms are a threat to freedom. Except for, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and George Soros. And, you know, all the billionaires we like, those guys are not a threat to freedom, no matter how many billions of dollars they set into the Western democratic system. They're all, those are the good ones. But Elon Musk is a bad one. Why? Because he disagrees with us and because he might break our monopoly. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the media have come up with their first complaint against Elon Musk. People are now being mean online to the people he fired. Oh no. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be a gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
You're required.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the media are fighting mad that Elon Musk has now taken over Twitter, and they are focusing their ire on the fact that some people are being mean online to the people he fired. That's why you're seeing coverage like this from the Associated Press. Oh, my God, people were mean to the former lawyer for Twitter online because Elon Musk criticized her. That means that Elon Musk is mean, and that means that Elon Musk is bad. and that means that people shouldn't advertise on Twitter. This is the goal. Musk's changes, according to the Associated Press, will be aimed at increasing Twitter's subscriber base and revenue. In the first big move earlier on Thursday, Musk tried to sue the leery Twitter advertisers, saying he's buying the platform to help humanity and doesn't want it to become a free-for-all hellscape. The message appears to be aimed at addressing concerns among advertisers that Musk's plans to promote free speech by cutting back on moderating content will open the floodgates to more online toxicity and drive away users. Now, again, that is not what's happening with these advertisers. These advertisers are not afraid that tons of people are going to stop using Twitter as a service. The reality is that Twitter's numbers have been inflated for a very long time. There's a small cadre of people who are very active on Twitter. They tend to be professionals, like me, who are in the Twitter space disseminating information. The number of people who actively use Twitter, who actively tweet, is much smaller than the number of people who are Twitter subscribers, right? The number of people who have accounts on Twitter. So they're not afraid of mass drop-off. What's happening right now is left-wing pressure groups are going to advertisers and saying, you should not advertise on Twitter because we are going to then initiate boycotts against you. We'll initiate secondary boycotts against you. Now, here's what advertisers should say. They should throw up the bird. They should free the bird against these left-wing activists. This is what left-wing activists always do. Left-wing activists are constantly going to advertisers and telling them that advertisers should basically be the free speech police. They should advertise on Positive America, but they definitely, definitely should not advertise on shows like this one. This is what left-wing activists do. And so what advertisers should do, if they have stones, is say, no, we're going to advertise however we like. We're going to reach users of all different political bents. In the end, by the way, I think that is what will happen. It'll be a little upset right now. People will get a little dyspepsia. And then it will be over. Musk wrote, quote, the reason I have acquired Twitter is because it is important to the future of civilization to have a common digital town square where a wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. He continued, there's currently great danger social media will splinter into far right wing and far left wing echo chambers that generate more hate and divide our society. That, of course, is correct, because if Twitter continues along the lines that it is continuing, then you are going to see people of the right move to other platforms. Musk has previously expressed distaste for advertising and Twitter's dependence on it, suggesting more emphasis on other business models like paid subscriptions that won't allow big corporations to dictate policy on how social media operates. On Thursday, he assured advertisers he wants Twitter to be the most respected advertising platform in the world. Pinar Yildirim, an associate professor of marketing at University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, says the note is a shift from Musk's position Twitter is unfairly infringing on free speech rights by blocking misinformation or graphic content. But it's also a realization that having no content moderation is bad for business. Well, he never said there shouldn't be no content moderation. He just said that the Overton window that's been created by a bunch of left-wing activists in executive positions at Twitter is not in consonance with good business practice. Musk, again, making these moves, firing everybody, shows that he intends to radically change the direction of the company, and that is a very good thing for Twitter. It is also a very good thing for the world. Musk intends to do away with permanent bans on users because he doesn't believe in lifelong prohibitions. That means people previously booted off the platform might be allowed to return, a category that would include former President Donald Trump. It's unclear if Trump would be allowed back on Twitter in the near term. I guarantee you Trump is coming back. There's no way that Musk takes over and Trump is not going to be allowed back on the platform. How would Musk even be able to justify that to himself? There's no way that Trump is not going to be allowed to return. By the way, the media will celebrate that because Trump is the media's lifeblood. The media have been losing money hand over fist since Trump left office, which is why they keep clinging to January 6th and going on Truth Social and finding Trump's random statements. The billionaire, according to Bloomberg, will bring immediate disruption to Twitter's operations, in part because many of his ideas for how to change the company are at odds with how it has been run for years. He said he wants to ensure free speech on the social network. More broadly, Musk's initiatives threaten to undo years of Twitter's efforts to reduce bullying and abuse on the platform. Again, the bullying and abuse, those are very vague terms, because what Twitter has now said is that it is bullying or abuse to say that Elliot Page is a woman. Elliot Page is a woman. That is not bullying or abuse. That is a statement of fact. But according to Twitter, if I say Elliot Page is a woman, I might end up in a ban for life, the way that Jordan was. This is what the media fear. Again, they are losing their monopoly. They don't like losing their monopoly. And so they're going to put extraordinary pressure on everybody to punish Twitter for not reestablishing the monopoly. That is precisely what they want to do. I don't think that Musk is going to cave to that, nor do I think he should cave to that. I think, as always, it is a left-wing toddler tantrum that is happening right now. And in the end, advertisers will continue advertising, users will continue using. All the people you see, the blue checks, are like, I'm leaving Twitter for... No, you're not. You're not going anywhere. We all know you're not going anywhere. You're a joke. You can't live without you and your echo chamber over at Twitter. No way. Taylor Lorenz is not abandoning the platform. Who else would she whine to while drinking wine out of very large glasses and stroking her seven cats? Alrighty, coming up, one of the reasons why it is very important to let a thousand flowers bloom on social media is because the legacy media, they are not trustworthy, and now Eric Wimple of the Washington Post is admitting as much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
625.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's an amazing piece in the Washington Post today by Eric Wemple, basically admitting that the legacy media, they lied to you and they manipulate the information out of fear of the left wing. The real reason that the must takeover of Twitter is quite important is because you can't trust the mainstream media. By all available polls, most Americans do not trust the mainstream media. In fact, a huge percentage of Americans say that the mainstream media is actually a danger to democracy. Now, in the polls asking which is the biggest danger to democracy, something like 84% of Republicans say mainstream media is a danger to democracy, so do 54% of independents. So most Americans actually believe that the mainstream media is the danger, and not Twitter. One reason for that became clear in a column by Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post. Wemple is kind of an interesting media columnist. He's definitely of the left, but he is occasionally an honest journalist. He has a piece today titled, James Bennett Was Right. James Bennett, of course, was the editor, the op-ed editor over at the New York Times when he ran a piece by Senator Tom Cotton, claiming that in the middle of riot summer 2020, perhaps the federal government should call out the National Guard in order to quell the rioting. According to Wemple in the Washington Post, controversy over an op-ed by Senator Tom Cotton consumed the New York Times in June 2020 and claimed the job of then-editorial page editor James Bennett. 2.5 years later, Bennett has shared some thoughts about the episode, and in particular, the role of Times publisher A.G. Sulzberger. Quote, he set me on fire and threw me in the garbage and used my reverence for the institution against me, is what Bennett told Ben Smith at Semaphore. This is why I was so bewildered for so long, after I had felt like all my colleagues treated me like an incompetent fascist. Wemple says, that might sound like the angst of a guy who's still disgruntled at losing his job, and it is, for a compelling reason. Bennett is right. He's right about Sulzberger. He's right about the Cotton op-ed. He's right about the lessons that linger from his tumultuous final days at the Times. Because Bennett came under such heavy scrutiny for even running the Tom Cotton op-ed that he was essentially fired from his job and thrown under the bus. And here's what Wemple said. This is amazing. Quote, his outburst in Semaphore furnishes a toehold for reassessing one of the most consequential journalism fights in decades. To date, the lesson from the set to that publishing a senator arguing that federal troops could be deployed against rioters is unacceptable will forever circumscribe what issues opinion sections are allowed to address. It's also long past time to explain why more people who claim to uphold journalism and free expression, including the Eric Wemple blog, didn't speak out then in Bennett's defense. It's because we were afraid to. That's an unbelievable admission by Eric Wemple. No one came to Bennett's defense. And Wemple admits the truth. It's because we were afraid to. So you ask, okay, afraid of what? What exactly were you guys afraid of? So here's what Eric Wemple writes. He says, after the Cotton op-ed was published, a backlash swiftly combusted. The Times staffers at the forefront of the critique, Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the Pulitzer Prize-winning 1619 Project, tweeted that the paper should have done a news story to push back against Cotton ideas, as opposed to, quote, simply giving over our platform to spew dangerous rhetoric. Estid W. Herndon, a national politics reporter, made a similar point, tweeting that, quote, if electeds want to make a provocative argument, let them withstand the questions and context of a news story, not unvarnished and unchecked. There were other persuasive broadsides against the decisions to publish Cotton. No, they were not persuasive. Many Times staffers, however, forewent the rigor of argumentation and tweeted out the following line or something similar to express their disgust. Quote, running this puts black New York Times staff in danger. The formulation came from the internal group Black NYT. And received the blessing of the News Guild of New York as legally protected speech because it focused on workplace safety. The danger tweets, along with a letter from Times employees slamming the op-ed, landed with impact. Although Sulzberger initially defended publication as furthering the principle of openness to a range of opinions, he bailed on that posture within hours. By the afternoon after publication, the paper had determined that the piece failed to, quote, meet our standards, according to a statement. As Sulzberger flip-flopped, an astonishing up-is-down moment unfolded at the paper's upper regions. Whereas media outlets typically develop arguments to defend work that comes under attack, the opposite scenario played out over the Cotton op-ed. Top Times officials, according to three sources, scrambled to pulverize the essay in order to vindicate objections rolling in from Twitter. A post-publication fact-check was commissioned to comb through the op-ed for errors, according to the sources, even though it had undergone fact-checking before publication. The paper's standards desk spearheaded work on an editor's note. By the way, this is true. I've written op-eds for the New York Times. They make you go through a rigorous and ridiculous fact-check process. I mean, it is the most extraordinary extended fact-check process I've ever gone through for any op-ed. And my op-ed was just an obit for Rush Limbaugh. Deputy Page Editorial Director James Dow, who pushed for publication, spent more than an hour on the phone with the Cotton aide that Thursday night to inventory alleged problems. Dow says the aide was pointedly unenthusiastic about the pursuit. It sounded like he had a gun to his head and he had to find something, the aide, who is no longer with Cotton's office, told this blog. The review did not deliver the factual bloodbath alleged by critics. The fact check flagged a misquotation that should have been rendered as a paraphrase. It also examined objections to Cotton's claim that cadres of left-wing radicals like Antifa were infiltrating protest marchers to exploit Floyd's death for their own anarchic purposes. That topic was the focus of various conflicting official statements and news stories, some of them published by the Times in the run-up to the Cotton op-ed and extending well beyond it. The editor's note asserted the claims about Antifa have not been substantiated and have been widely questioned. Such was the spirit of the editor's note, which went heavy on regrets about tone, process, and other squishy considerations, while asserting that the op-ed failed time standards, says Eric Wemple. It also claimed that the essay's arguments were, quote, a newsworthy part of the current debate, a line that Dow championed, according to two sources. Elsewhere, it said the op-ed should have undergone greater scrutiny, even though at least five opinion editors participated in editing, according to sources. Although Bennett said he hadn't read the piece, he was involved in some early decisions about it, including the deletion of a criticism of Hannah Jones. So they actually took out a criticism of one of their columnists from the piece, and then she whined about it. Sulzberger seemed disappointed upon being told that the post-publication fact check hadn't punctured the op-ed, according to a source involved in the process. The Eric Wemple blog asked the Times for another example of an editor's note apologizing for non-factual issues. The Times didn't answer that question, among others. The editor's note teed up Bennett's firing, technically resignation, as editorial page director. Media coverage of his departure noted the op-ed was one of several storms under Bennett's management. Others included a June 2017 editorial that triggered a defamation lawsuit from Sarah Palin, an anti-Semitic cartoon, and personal fiascos. The Cotton thing seemed like the final straw, except in hindsight, it wasn't a straw at all. In initially sticking up for the Times' role in publishing controversial affairs, says Eric Wemple, Sulzberger had it right. Okay, so why exactly didn't anybody in the media actually say this at any time? A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Well, says Eric Wemple, the Twitter chain claiming danger to Times staffers suffered from the same journalistic failings leveled at the op-ed. It was an exercise in manipulative hyperbole brilliantly calibrated for immediate impact. I actually knew what it meant to have a target on your back when you're reporting for the New York Times, Bennett told Smith, because he actually used to report for the New York Times in the Middle East. The Eric Wemple blog has asked 30 Times staffers whether they still believed their danger tweets and whether there was any merit in Bennett's retort. Not one of them replied with an on-the-record defense. Such was the depth of conviction behind a central argument in L'Affaire Cotton. Our criticism of the Twitter outburst comes 875 days too late. Although the hollowness of the internal uproar against Bennett was immediately apparent, we responded with an even-handed critique of the Times flip-flop, not the unapologetic defense of journalism the situation required. Our posture was one of cowardice and mid-career risk management. With that, we pile one more regret onto a controversy littered with them. So good for Eric Wemple for admitting it. But what he was really afraid of, he was afraid of Twitter. He was afraid of the Twitter mob, the left-wing Twitter mob that has been left in charge of that service. This is why Musk taking over is so good. Because finally, the pushback will be allowed. I mean, there was great fear on places like Twitter during BLM that if you said things like rioting is bad, the National Guard should be called, that you might be banned from places like Twitter. And the media culture that's been created by the left is unbelievably ideologically monopolistic. So Musk breaking that is a very, very good thing. And that Eric Wemple op-ed is just astonishing. And it just shows you how much of our mainstream media operates out of fear of the left-wing radicals who really are in control of these higher institutions. Okay, meanwhile, we are about to hit a midterm election in just about a week and a half right here. And Chuck Schumer was caught on a hot mic assessing the state of play. So Chuck Schumer told Joe Biden, you should know, first of all, that he's on mic. He said, the state where we're going downhill is Georgia. It's hard to believe they'll go for Herschel Walker. So he's admitting that. You can actually hear him doing that. The audio quality isn't very good, but you can actually hear Chuck Schumer doing that. He also suggests that they're optimistic a little bit more about Pennsylvania. He says, we're picking up steam in Nevada. This is him whistling past the graveyard right here. The reality is that the polls right now show that Democrats are in serious trouble in all three of those states. They're in serious trouble in Pennsylvania because of John Fetterman. They're in serious trouble in Georgia because contrary to popular opinion, Raphael Warnock is a terrible candidate for the United States Senate, and he would have lost last time if President Trump had not personally intervened to drive away votes for the Republican candidate in Georgia. And right now in Nevada, Adam Laxalt is opening up a not insignificant lead. There's a new poll from Trafalgar that shows Laxalt up by 4. In fact, of the last polls, virtually all of them have Laxalt up. And it is fair to say that many of these polls are going to be skewed Democrat, because this has been true for every average polling error that we've seen over the past 10 years, essentially. It always tends to oversample Democrats. So right now, I'm just reading you the Real Clear Politics polling average in the Senate. Fetterman is up 0.3, which means dead heat, which means Oz is up. In fact, the latest polls show Oz up by 3 in the Insider Advantage poll. That's the one that's out today. Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire is up apparently only 3.4 in the American, in the Real Clear Politics polling average. The last two polls show that race within margin of errors. That could be a surprise race, especially because Democrats really intervened to get Don Baldick to be the nominee, because Baldick is considered more extreme and they were hoping Maggie Hassan would have an easier run. Bud in North Carolina is up big. He's going to win that race. Laxalt, as I said, in Nevada is up. I think he will win that race. In Arizona, Mark Kelly is within margin of error in every single poll that has been taken right now. And it is quite possible that Carrie Lake, who is wildly overperforming that governor's race, partially because she's good on TV and partially because Katie Hobbs is an awful candidate, that she could drag Blake Masters over the finish line in that very tight race. Herschel Walker right now in the polls is up. There's a Rasmussen poll that has him up 5 right now, despite all of this, right? Despite all of the scandals surrounding Herschel Walker and the fact that perhaps half the population of Georgia is biologically related to Herschel Walker. At this point, it doesn't matter. Herschel Walker looks like he's going to win that race walking away. And part of that, by the way, has to be due. Credit is due where credit is due to Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp is running away with his race against Stacey Abrams, the president of the universe. Right now, Brian Kemp in the Real Clear Politics polling average is up 7.4 points. The Rasmussen poll has him up 10. Okay, so he is dragging Herschel Walker along with him to victory. In Ohio, J.D. Vance is going to pull away with that race. In Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who was once expected to lose that race, is going to win that race. Marco Rubio is blowing out Val Demings in Florida to the desperation of Democrats who have been hoping that Val Demings might overperform there. So you can see why Democrats are freaking out. And they're freaking out about other races as well. I've said that my sleeper pick in this particular midterm election is that Kathy Hochul goes down in New York. And you're starting to see the New York Times come around to that position. According to the New York Times, as governor's race tightens, a frantic call to action among Democrats. You don't need to consult the most recent polls to realize the race for New York governor between Governor Kathy Hochul and Representative Lee Zeldin appears to be tightening. Just follow the string of Democrats' calls to action this week, says the New York Times. With just 12 days until Election Day, Democrats and their allies are mounting a frenzied push to keep Hochul in office, pouring millions of dollars into last-minute ads, staging a whirlwind of campaign rallies to energize their base amid concerns their typically reliable bedrock of Black and Latino voters might not turn out. Labor unions have been going into overdrive, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on TV and radio ads to cajole those voters to turn up for Hochul. The Hochul campaign has even turned to former primary adversaries for help, including the Working Families Party. Hochul is still leading most of the major polls. With that said, those polls are not particularly encouraging for Kathy Hochul at this point. She's up about 6 points in the Real Clear Politics polling average, but the last polls were done about 10 days ago, and they had Hochul up somewhere between 4 and 6 points. So that race has tightened dramatically. And even the New York Times is recognizing that Democrats are having to pour money down the rat hole of that race. Recent polls show Zeldin drawing closer to Hochul. Their head-to-head debate went very poorly for Kathy Hochul because she's never actually had to do a major debate for any rational reason. Alrighty, we'll get to more on this in 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. We will all die. That's a depressing thought, but you could be walking down the street and suddenly an alligator is just hurled from the bushes at you. And next thing you know, you're battling off that alligator and thinking back to this very moment, listening to this very ad for Policy Genius and thinking, man, I really should have listened to Shapiro and gotten that life insurance. Policy Genius is the smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes with top companies, so you don't pay a cent more than you have to for that coverage. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius is not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance because, again, they work for you. There are no personal fees. All your personal info is kept private. It's no wonder these guys have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. So your loved ones deserve the financial safety net provided by life insurance. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the latest in the Senate battles. They're getting really bad for the Democrats. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Class exam required to qualify.
Welcome back. This is Ben Shapiro Show. So this election looks like it is turning the wrong way for Democrats. The GOP looks like it's in good shape in Oregon. For the first time in 40 years, Oregonians might choose a Republican governor. It's a three-way race. That race is being thrown in the air by Betsy Johnson, a former Democratic state senator. She ran as an independent. She's drawing an average of 14% in the polls. Former Democratic state senator, House Speaker Tina Kotek, and former state House GOP leader Christine Drazen are running evenly at just under 39%. Jessica Taylor, an editor at Nonpartisan Cook Political Report, says Republicans have a lot of things going their way in this race. And one of those things is that Portland is located in Oregon, and Oregon might not like how Portland is governed. And Portland is a Democratic city. Democrats hold every statewide office in Oregon. Biden won the state by 16. But voters don't like the crime. They don't like the homelessness. They don't like the public drug use. It turns out that major city governance has a rather large impact on how people think the state ought to be governed. So it could be that Oregon ends up with a Republican governor, which would, again, be a great shocker, obviously. As I mentioned before, black Democrats are, meanwhile, very, very upset because it turns out that a bunch of black female politicians are completely failing in their races, and the DCCC and the DCSC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, DSCC, they've been doing basically no fundraising in a lot of these races that were supposed to be big wins for black Democratic women. Stacey Abrams has spent a ton of money. She's getting her ass kicked in Georgia. Val Demings is spending money, but they're not dedicating a lot of money to her because she's getting her ass kicked in Florida. Remember, she was supposed to be the great hope for the Democratic Party in Florida. She's getting whomped in all the polls. The Democratic Senate Majority PAC, a group affiliated with the party leadership and its partners, had spent $10 million bucks since May against Ted Budd in North Carolina. And meanwhile, Budd is just running away with the race. So it's fun to watch the precriminations from the Democratic Party. Black members of the Democratic Party are like, you're racist. That's why you're not spending money there. Far be it from me to defend the Democratic Party against charges of racism. But the reason that they are not spending money in these races is because those candidates are going to lose. And it's not because the candidates are black. John Fetterman, as expected, is falling apart in polling. WIC Insights has now a new post-debate poll from Pennsylvania. The polling has been limited in the aftermath of the debate. All the polling shows that Fetterman has lost ground. This poll shows Oz at 47.6 and Fetterman at 45.9. Now, there's been some early voting in Pennsylvania. This is one of the reasons why early voting is super duper bad. I voted early because it is available to me. I wish they would change the rules and it would not have been available to me and that you'd have to vote within like 3 days of the election unless you have some sort of excuse. The fact that people are voting months out from an election en masse is really bad because then there is late breaking information that might change your vote. In fact, one of the Google searches that was most highly trending in the aftermath of that Oz Fetterman debate was, how do I change my vote in Pennsylvania? You figure there have been something like 500,000 to 700,000 early votes in Pennsylvania. There will be 5 million votes probably in that election. The vast majority of people who vote early probably were dedicated partisans, not a lot of independents showing up to vote early. They tend to vote day of. What that means is that if the early votes in Pennsylvania are even remotely even, which they seem to be at this point by party ID, then Oz will win that race. Now, Democrats are struggling to come up with some sort of rationale for why precisely you should vote for John Fetterman, considering the fact that he is not fully functional. Again, it is not mean to say this. It is not ableist to say this. Ableism is, you say, that a blind man is not capable of being a lawyer. It is not ableism to say that a blind man is not capable of being a pilot. Hey, John Fetterman cannot speak sentences. He cannot understand verbal sentences. It has to be written down for him. This is a major handicap in terms of whether you can perform your job in the United States Senate. That is not mean. That is just fact. And anybody who tells you differently is lying to you and assuming that you are a stupid person. Hey, but they've come up with another narrative. The narrative is now that John Fetterman is a hero. See him going on that stage and performing in the worst possible fashion, justifying everybody's fears about his health, justifying everybody's fears about his brain function. And that actually was an act of heroism. And Fetterman, he actually grew a third arm to pat himself on the back here, talking about what a hero he is for even going to debate in the first place. Now, here's the thing. Going to debate, that is a prereq for being in the Senate. And you tried to avoid it for as long as you could. The fact is that if Fetterman had avoided the debate, everybody would have understood the exact same thing they understood after watching the debate, which is the man is not fully functional, that he has not recovered from his stroke. And that, by the way, stroke recovery is really difficult. It's a very long process. There are good days and there are bad days. And not just that, it is quite possible that we've already seen the best that John Fetterman has to offer. And on good days, he can string together about a 5-minute speech. And on bad days, he looks like that debate performance. So John Fetterman had a debate. He did not have a political choice, but here he was declaring himself a hero.
No, it wasn't going to be easy after, you know, having a stroke after five months. In fact, in fact, I don't think that's ever been done before in American political history before, actually.
It's never been done. Well, I mean, that's true. And also, it was terrible. There's a reason that stroke victims typically don't do debates. Because stroke victims typically don't run for Senate after they've had the stroke months later. The Democratic Party should have stepped in and they should have made Conor Lamb the nominee. And by the way, if they had done so, that seat would basically be guaranteed to the Pennsylvania Democrats right now. Instead, it looks like they're going to lose to Mehmet Oz. Because the reality is that Fetterman is still struggling. While he's out there declaring himself a hero, here he was at a rally yesterday. And again, he's having trouble. Actually, this is him in an interview yesterday. Again, still having a lot of trouble.
No, and, you know, you talk about the liberty of statue has never had an inscription inside that said, you know, send your tired, huddled masses and put them on a bus and turn them into a cheap political stunt.
That's true heroism. True heroism is your party using you in order to win a seat, even if you are not capable of doing the job. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tasia Stevens. Elon Musk says there will be no account reinstatements to Twitter right away. In a tweet, Musk said a content moderation council will be formed to evaluate the platform with widely diverse viewpoints. Several prominent conservative figures are banned from the Twitter, including former President Trump. The man accused of hijacking a New York City bus is facing a laundry list of charges, including reckless endangerment and unlawful imprisonment. Officials say the bus driver let everybody off the bus, took off with the suspect before jumping out the driver's side window. The guy tried to get away after the bus crashed, but he was caught immediately and arrested. A record number of Americans say that crime has increased in their locality over the past year. Bob Agnew reports.
56% of respondents to a Gallup poll say local crime has gotten worse over the past year. That's the highest number since Gallup began collecting data on the issue 5 decades ago. It represents a 13% jump over last year. 73% of Republicans say there's been an increase compared to 42% of Democrats. The figures come even as recent polls indicate crime as among the top concerns many voters face as they prepare to vote in the midterm elections. Bob Agnew reporting.
Protesters again confront police in a southeast Iranian city. Correspondent Charles Deledesma reports.
Zahedan has seen weeks of unrest amid nationwide demonstrations after the September death of a woman, Mahsa Amini, detained by the country's morality police. Activists estimate that in Zahedan alone, nearly 100 people have been killed since a rally there on September 30 set off a violent police response. Videos of the protests around the city's Grand Mosque purportedly included the sound of gunfire. The internet advocacy group NetBlocks says it appears online access has been disrupted in the city. I'm Charles Diladesma.
For all these stories at townhall.com.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah, I called and right away Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over limit charges and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-990-6976.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Rock and roll pioneer Jerry Lee Lewis has died at the age of 87. Music correspondent Margie Sarlozetta reports.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
According to the legend that is Jerry Lee Lewis, he would kick his stool over and put his foot on the piano because he was unable to dance on stage like guitar players could. Lewis was known as the killer with songs like Great Balls of Fire and Whole Lot of Shaking going on.
Come on over, baby.
Lewis married 7 times, including famously to his 13-year-old cousin. He said in a 1996 AP interview he was proud of his wives and his music, but mostly one thing in particular.
A breath. But God has used me to breathe in my body. I'm most proud of that.
I'm Archie Zaraletta.
His death had erroneously been reported by some outlets on Wednesday. Judith, his 7th wife, was by his side when he passed away at his home in DeSoto County, Mississippi, south of Memphis. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tasia Stevens. Businesses are increasingly worried about the renewed threat of a railroad strike.
The worries increased after 2 unions rejected their deals, and they want the White House and Congress to be ready to intervene. A coalition of 322 business groups sent a letter to President Biden Thursday urging him to make sure the deals he helped broker last month get approved because a railroad strike would have dire consequences for the economy. All 12 rail unions must approve their agreements to prevent a strike next month. The 5-year deals include 24% raises and $5,000 in bonuses. But the negotiations hinge on quality of life concerns about paid sick time and demanding schedules. Keith Peters reporting.
54% of Americans have either reduced or stopped contributions to their retirement due to inflation. 43% have taken money from a retirement account to make ends meet. The report comes as the Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates again next week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So, John Fetterman, it looks like he's falling apart in that race for Pennsylvania senator. That makes perfect sense, considering that, again, he's not well from his stroke. But the Democrats, the media, they have to come up with some narrative for why you should vote for John Fetterman. John Fetterman has been hailed as a hero by the entire media for his absolutely horrifying performance in debate. And again, that's not his fault. His family put him out there. They should not have. The Democratic Party put him out there. They should not have. There are two major problems with John Fetterman. One is the stroke. The second is that he's a terrible candidate in his own right. I know that he does Twitter memes, or his team does Twitter memes, and that's all very exciting and stuff. Ooh, Twitter memes. Ooh, make him a senator. But the reality is that John Fetterman's positions are wildly out of touch with his own state. This is why he's had to reverse his position on, for example, fracking. So back in 2018, John Fetterman openly said he does not support fracking expansion. This is Fetterman from back in 2018.
I do not support its expansion. I don't support it in areas like our national forests. I don't support it in untouched green areas and places like that. You know, most importantly, if we are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, we need to have the most comprehensive and extensive environmental controls, and we currently don't have that under the current environmental protection.
Okay, and then now he's all in favor of fracking. Now all of a sudden he loves fracking. After spending, like, his entire career railing against fracking, now he loves it.
Then in 2018, you said, and I quote, "I don't support fracking at all, and I never have. Can you tell us with a simple yes or no, if elected, sir, will you support fracking?"
I absolutely would support fracking, and I have. And you know, I have at times have had concerns about environmental issues as well, too.
Okay. He does not support fracking. He will not support fracking. He's lying. And this is what John Fetterman's positions are. He is anti-police. He's very soft on crime. He's made that clear over and over and over again. John Fetterman has extraordinarily extreme positions on abortion. He cannot name a single circumstance in which he believes that an abortion should be prohibited all the way up until birth, until the crowning. I don't even know what he thinks about crowning, to be frank with you. He's a very, very radical politician. This was always a flaw. This is one of the reasons why Republicans, when they were considering whether to run Mehmet Oz or Dave McCormick, if they'd actually run McCormick, this is an amazing race because the truth is that if either party had picked a different primary candidate, probably that party would have run away with the thing, right? If Democrats had picked Conor Lamb against Mehmet Oz, they'd be doing a lot better right now. And if Republicans had picked, say, Dave McCormick against Mehmet Oz in that primary, then probably this race would already be a bigger gap. Okay, but bottom line is that Fetterman has now become the subject of the referendum. And as I always say, politically speaking, the person upon whom the election is a referendum loses. Democrats are assuming in Georgia that the referendum will be on Herschel Walker. It is not on Herschel Walker. The referendum is on Joe Biden, and it is on Raphael Warnock. In Pennsylvania, it was on Mehmet Oz because he was very famous. It is no longer on Mehmet Oz. The referendum is on John Fetterman, and John Fetterman is going to lose that race likely because of that. So again, the Democrats have to come up with some reason why you should support John Fetterman. And the reason they've hit upon is because he had a stroke. It's not a feature. It's not a bug. It's a feature. It's a good thing that he's because he's out there, right? Man, he's representing the stroke victims of the United States. Here is MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell comparing John Fetterman, I kid you not, to Churchill, FDR, Bernie Sanders. Ah, the heroism.
She felt she was in the presence of a secret about the president's condition, and she felt as most Americans did, and as the press corps did way back then, that the president's condition should be respected. 11-year-old Caroline Morrell did not think that in her one lucky moment of being in the room with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that he was painful to watch. Painful to watch quickly became an oft-repeated phrase on Twitter last night during the Pennsylvania Senate campaign debate because Democratic candidate John Fetterman suffered a stroke this spring and has not fully recovered 100% of his verbal fluency.
FDR was stricken by polio and therefore had to use a wheelchair. Is the implication that he had loss of brain function, FDR? Is that the idea? And really what we should be talking about is whether Woodrow Wilson should have been president in 1919, considering that his wife Edith was signing all of the bills. Speaking of which, Gisele Fetterman is the person who will probably end up senator from Pennsylvania if, in fact, John Fetterman is elected, and everybody knows this. She's a very political human being, and she's out there campaigning on her husband's behalf. I mean, she says she's the other half of the campaign. I don't know why Democrats do this all the time. I don't see it nearly as much in Republican circles. You don't see, like, Heidi Cruz at 10. She's like, I'm half the team. Heidi Cruz is making the calls here. Like, that never happens. You don't see Mehmet Oz's wife out there being like, I'm running this show. Gisele Fetterman's like, you elect John, you get me. This has been true ever since Bill Clinton in 1992, saying that Hillary was going to co-president with him. And it's like, who the hell wants to elect her? As it turns out, nobody. Ever. For the rest of her life. Alrighty, we'll get to more on this in 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. We will all die. That's a depressing thought. But you could be walking down the street, and suddenly, an alligator is just hurled from the bushes at you. And next thing you know, you're battling off that alligator and thinking back to this very moment. Listening to this very ad for Policy Genius and thinking, man, I really should have listened to Shapiro and gotten that life insurance. Policy Genius is the smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes with top companies, so you don't pay a cent more than you have to for that coverage. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius is not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance because, again, they work for you. There are no personal fees. All your personal info is kept private. It's no wonder these guys have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. So your loved ones deserve the financial safety net provided by life insurance. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. Well, Gisele Fetterman is the other half of the ticket, which means that she will be like Edith Wilson signing on the dotted line. On behalf of John Fetterman, she is claiming that really the problem here is the intolerance of the American people, that what we really need to do here is normalize closed captioning. That's the problem, or we haven't normalized closed captioning enough. I'm pretty sure that's not the problem.
I think the media certainly needs more training. You know, they talk about their investments in diversity. They really missed the mark, right? I thought this was such an amazing opportunity to really talk about this, right? Most people use accommodations on some level, whether that's glass, whether that's how bright you keep your camera, you know, your phone when you're reading. These are all accommodations. You know, maybe closed caption is like a new thing to them, but I've been using closed captioning my whole life. I learned how to speak English watching Mr. Rogers and reading closed captions. So, you know, maybe it's something we need to normalize. We need to have more of these conversations.
Oh, that's what this is about. It's turned into an awareness-raising campaign, this particular senatorial campaign. Now, why exactly, you might ask, why Gisele Fetterman would subject her husband to this? I mean, seriously, like on a familial level, would you subject your spouse to this? To public humiliation, knowing that this person should not be speaking in public because this person's brain is not functioning properly? Is that what you would do as a spouse? Well, but Gisele Fetterman is very political, again, and she wishes to be co-senator. Gisele Fetterman, as I say, is extraordinarily radical. She actually emerged yesterday to announce that swimming is racist, which is an interesting. Swimming is what? No, huh?
And while we did not want the mansion, that mansion came with a pool, and the pool I wanted. And the dream was to open this pool and make it a public pool, turn it into the people's pool and ensure that young people across Pennsylvania could learn how to swim and learn water safety and kind of work to right some of the wrongs. You know, historically, swimming in America is very racist. And usually when you look at drowning statistics, it usually affects children of color because of lack of access.
Swimming is racist, guys. That lady should be your actual senator from Pennsylvania. By the way, you think John Fetterman is radical. His wife is radical. Fox News has an entire look at Gisele Fetterman, and she becomes relevant because, again, Democrats have a bad habit of they elect a senator, the senator dies, and then the wife takes over. Or the senator becomes incapacitated and the wife takes over. Like, this is a thing that happens on a routine basis inside the Democratic Party. Rolling Stone reporter Kara Vaught tweeted and deleted a post calling Gisele the de facto candidate for her husband's United States Senate seat. Vaught's updated tweet changed the description from de facto candidate to key surrogate for her husband. But everybody kind of knows what is going on right here. Fetterman claimed that Burns' statements, this Dasha Burns, she claimed that Dasha Burns, the NBC News correspondent who mentioned that John Fetterman could not get through interviews properly. She said that those were a disservice to her husband. So who exactly is she? Well, she actually met John Fetterman in 2007. That was 3 years after getting her green card. She's from Brazil. She penned a letter to him while he was serving as mayor of Braddock, Pennsylvania. The letter, according to CNN, came as she worked as an activist focusing on nutrition, food equity, and Big Brothers Big Sisters. Fetterman, now the lieutenant governor, responded to her letter, and she made her first visit to Braddock and met with her future husband. They got married like a year later. She earned U.S. citizenship the same year. She built something that was called the Free Store, which was dubbed by CNN a Bernie Sanders fantasy land. Everything is free. The food, the clothes, the dishes, the bicycles, all for $0 and all without limit. She is also the co-founder of For Good PGH, which aims to, quote, develop and implement initiatives that promote diversity and inclusivity and create positive experiences for underserved populations. During a June interview with the Pittsburgh City Paper, she said she was, quote, always involved in all the races. She says, so you know, whether he was running in the primary, whether he was running for lieutenant governor, I was always involved. I helped. I did a lot of the social media in the beginning. We're just a team. She was a delegate for Bernie Sanders in 2016. She endorsed Elizabeth Warren in 2020. In October 2019, she issued support for universal health care for illegal immigrants. She also ripped on ICE raids. She's about as left-wing as it's possible to get. So elect John Fetterman, get Gisele is basically the name of the game here. That's not a particularly compelling argument for voting for John Fetterman. And so the media are trying to step in here and save John Fetterman's campaign by basically claiming that anyone who opposes him is an ableist. So you have the Washington Post running a piece today titled, quote, Head of Republican Party mocks speaking abilities of Fetterman, Biden. What exactly did Ronna Romney McDaniel do? What did she do that was so darned evil? What did she do? Well, she was being interviewed by Hugh Hewitt about the news that Joe Biden and Vice President Harris plan to appear at a political event in Philadelphia on Friday for Fetterman, which will be the most incoherent political event of all time. Because you have Joe Biden, who has mashed potatoes for brain, and then you have John Fetterman, who literally suffered a stroke. And you have Kamala Harris, the worst politician in all the land, whose apparent catalog of genius extends to lists of things she likes, as I say, like Julie Andrews in Sound of Music, warm woolen mittens, school buses, Venn diagrams. So Hewitt said, I hope there are cameras and microphones, because you put those three together, they could say anything. And McDaniel said, maybe they can get a full sentence out. McDaniel says, I think all the candidates got together and said, which one of us has to campaign with Biden? And Fetterman drew the short straw. And she added, so Biden said, between the two of us, we may be able to finish a full sentence. Oh, no. She said the thing that everybody notices, which is that Joe Biden is not good at speaking anymore and that John Fetterman had an actual debilitating stroke. No, she can't notice. You notice. Stop noticing. We have to pretend along. It's very important that we all pretend. That ain't going to drag John Fetterman over the finish line. That is not a thing that is likely to happen. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, the kids are back in school. The cast of summer travel has now come to an end. But for many of us, fall can also be a super busy time. It is for me. We're talking work, school, sports, clubs, etc. You might find yourself away from home more often than not, which is why I team up with Ring to keep my home safe. With Ring security products, you can rest assured your home and family will be safe when you're not there. The Ring doorbell notifies you when guests or packages arrive. Working parents can even watch from the office to make sure their kids get off the school bus safely. Ring's indoor cams, they're a great way to keep an eye on kids and pets when you're not there. Ring alarm will alert you if any motion is detected while the house is empty. Now, I use Ring. It makes me feel safe whenever I'm not home. I know what's going on with the baby. I know what's going on with my wife. and know what's going on my property, which matters a lot to me. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers. Find out how you can live a little more stress-free this season with a Ring product that's right for you. That's ring.com/collections/offers. I feel safer because I have Ring devices all over my house. You will feel safer as well. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers and find out how you can upgrade security at your place. Alrighty, coming up, the Biden administration trying to claim that the reason you shouldn't vote for Republicans is that they will spike the price of oil, which is not true. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Whether it's harvest theme or Halloween, decorate your home for the fall with Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. Mix and match antique, shabby chic, and farmhouse furniture with vintage holiday decor. There's lots of Halloween decorations to choose from, plus clothing and costume jewelry, including earrings, necklaces, pins, and rings. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
Voting is your right and civic duty. It is important to know who is running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Zero.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden is trying to make his closing pitch on the basis of the supposedly strong economic report. There's only one problem. The economic report that came out yesterday is actually not particularly strong. It's actually kind of weak. According to the Wall Street Journal, the U.S. economy grew in the third quarter but showed signs of a broad slowdown as consumer and business spending faltered under high inflation and rising interest rates. Basically, GDP, which they keep saying it grew at an annual 2.6% rate in the third quarter, it actually grew at 0.6% quarter over quarter, which is very, very weak. Not just that, trade contributed to the turnaround because the U.S. was exporting more oil and natural gas to Europe. That's basically what that was our GDP increase. It's that we produced a lot of oil and natural gas and we exported it. And our imports dropped because nobody's buying anything anymore. Businesses slashed spending on business on buildings. Residential investment fell at a 26.4% annualized rate. Treasury yields fell. Stocks were mixed after the earnings announcement. If it were that strong, people would be buying stocks. Yields presumably would have increased, not fallen. Economic uncertainty is growing. Many economists are worried about the possibility of recession in the coming 12 months. Richard Moody says the overall state of the economy is deteriorating. A lot of it is just the weight of elevated inflation and higher interest rates. I don't think we've seen the full effects of higher rates work their way through the economy. We have really low expectations for the next several quarters. That didn't stop Joe Biden from getting out there on the campaign trail and pretending that everything is going swimmingly. So here was Joe Biden bragging about the GDP report yesterday by telling a series of lies.
So economic growth is up. The price of inflation is down. Real incomes are up. And the price of gas is down. Folks, continue to spend. But now a more stable pace than during our rapid recovery last year.
Nope. Okay, so inflation is not down. Inflation, when he took office, was 1.4% annualized. It is currently in excess of 8%. Wages, compared to inflation, are down. They are not up. Gas prices are up extraordinarily over when he took office. When he took office, it was like $2.30 a gallon. Today, it's like $3.70 a gallon. I love the baselines that he's using. He's like, you know, it's better than it was last month. Yeah, but you didn't take office last month, you dullard. You took office a year and a half ago. Everybody knows that, which is why you guys are going to get your butts kicked in about a week and a half right here. Meanwhile, his White House chief of staff is pushing these lies as well. So Ron Klain, whose nickname should be Tweets Through It, that's all he does all day. He just spends his day on Twitter retweeting random accounts that they keep telling him he's doing a wonderful job. He says, you know, real income is going up. Everything's great.
People are being squeezed by high prices. The cost of living squeeze on families has been with us for decades. It isn't solved yet. I do think we made some significant measures this year, which take effect next year, and we're going to talk about those. I do think also, I know the some of the polling about the economy, I think, is also out of date since some of those polls were taken. Again, the price of gas has come down dramatically. We're seeing economic growth. We're seeing prices come down. We're seeing real income go up. So I think we have to bring up to date the narrative to where it is today.
You mean compared to 5 minutes ago? You know, it turns out that when you blow out the inflation rate, 8.4%, 8.6%, it goes down to 8.3%. No one's going to give you credit for that. It still sucks. Ron Klain didn't just say that real income is going up, everything is going well. He also says that Republicans are going to make inflation worse. He's going to have to explain how that's possible, considering that his boss has been the single worst inflation president of the last several decades. Here is Ron Klain trying to talk his way through this one.
And the third point he's going to make today is, what's the choice here? What's the choice? Republican leaders in Congress have said that if they get control of the Congress, they're going to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, cut taxes for corporations, raise the deficit. That'll make inflation worse.
They're going to make the inflation worse? They are, because they're going to cut taxes. So giving people back their money is what's going to make the inflation worse, not spending more money than God or man has ever seen and pledging to do far more than that without any presidential authority. Genius level stuff there, galaxy brain stuff there from the White House chief of staff. Meanwhile, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island, he's saying the same sort of stuff about energy. He's like, the GOP won't lower gas prices because he just runs out of ideas.
I think we go to the record of what we've actually done to lower costs for consumers and point out that fuel costs, drug costs, and fair taxation are all Democratic priorities, and that the Republicans are not going to do a thing about it. A Republican party that is funded by the fossil fuel industry is never going to take on fuel costs in a serious way.
Okay, the idea that the way that you take on fuel costs in a serious way is to yell at the fossil fuel companies is the height of stupidity. But this is all they've got. And if that worked, by the way, wouldn't the fuel prices be a lot lower than when Joe Biden took office? After all, they were very, very greedy, terrible oil companies when he took office, and he yelled at them a lot. So wouldn't that make the oil prices lower? It turns out the way that you make the oil prices lower is by increasing supply. This is not particularly difficult, but Sheldon Whitehouse doesn't have anything between his ears, and so this is the best he can do. And the real reason the oil prices are high is very simple. Okay, this administration has fostered a hatred for fossil fuels that has materialized in lack of investment, and they've pushed that. And John Kerry is still doing this sort of stuff. John Kerry is out there. Well, this administration is like, we need to lower oil prices. Joe Biden, the oil prices are going to be lower. John Kerry's like, we can't lower oil prices. We need to make them more expensive. I believe John Kerry. I actually do, because he's saying the quiet part out loud.
It's big, powerful economic interest.
Right.
Where you have governments controlling and providing incentives, you can make a lot happen. But the private sector will play an absolutely critical role here. In fact, I think in many ways it's going to be the private sector moving on these new technologies and also living up to its corporate stakeholder responsibility. You have CEOs all around the world now in the context of their boardrooms and the ESG requirements that they're trying to live up to, who are making commitments about getting to net zero by 2050 or by 2030, doing things that would have been unheard of before.
Yeah, so we're going to pressure everyone not to invest in fossil fuels. That's the reason, guys. It isn't because the Republicans are in bed with the oil companies or some such absolute nonsense. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by Kristen Soltis Anderson, pollster extraordinaire, to talk about the election. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading, where you can enjoy the comfort of your vehicle, including the air conditioning, while they remove the smoke and grime, debris, and other deposits that can build up on your vehicle and possibly damage the finish and paint. Quick and Clean Car Wash packages start at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons, get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hard to qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Kristen Soltis Anderson is a pollster extraordinaire. She joins us to talk about the latest in the 2022 midterms. Kristen, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
So why don't we start by going through the state of play in the congressional race, and then I want to get to this poll that you did on the younger generation, whether they're going to vote, how they're going to vote. Let's start with sort of the state of the race. It looks to me as though all the momentum is moving in one direction. All of these polls that were pretty, you know, there's a big gap in a lot of these polls in favor of Democrats maybe 2 months ago. They've narrowed up dramatically. If I had to ballpark this thing, if I had to put money on it right now, I'd say the Republicans end up with maybe 52, 53 seats in the Senate. But how do you see it?
I'd much rather be Republicans than Democrats right now. I mean, gravity is real. Political gravity has re-exerted itself. Republicans were always likely to have a very good night this November and throughout the spring, whether it was Americans frustrated by the response to something like the Omicron variant of COVID, the rising gas prices, questions about handling a foreign policy. I mean, a whole number of things made voters very frustrated with Joe Biden. But then you got to the summer, you had the Supreme Court decision around Roe versus Wade, and suddenly Democrats got this shot of life because their base had been so depressed and kind of disillusioned that got them more engaged. And that meant those polls closed up, but it wasn't sustainable. And so what we're seeing now, sort of re-exerting that a little bit higher enthusiasm and swing voters breaking for the GOP.
So let's talk about the reasons for that. Obviously, you know, Roe versus Wade, as you say, was this sort of historic moment. My prediction is that was going to fade fairly quickly. The reason being that the Supreme Court decision essentially tossed this to the states. And so the idea that the main battleground where this was going to be fought out was on the federal level, that you were going to vote for senator based on how your senator was going to vote on abortion, when the Supreme Court has already said this is no longer a federal issue, it's a state issue. It was sort of a weird alignment. If you're living in New York, you're not really worried about your abortion rights being under fire because, again, the federal government can't do much to actually restrict your abortion in New York. Similarly, if you're in Alabama, you're not too worried about what the federal government is going to do about abortion. So that means that this issue eventually will be relegated to the state. You might see it activate people in terms of state legislatures or in gubernatorial races. But I was always skeptical of the idea that this was going to have a major impact on congressional or senatorial races.
Well, that's where some of the political risk of what Lindsey Graham proposed had come into play, whether or not trying to do something at the federal level would actually open candidates up to more political risk around this issue than simply the matter of, hey, if you're in the Senate, you're in the business of confirming judges or not. But you actually didn't see Republicans lose a ton of ground in the polls specifically around that one federal action. Now, is it possible that individual candidates and individual races can go out and say things that are perhaps unhelpful? Absolutely. But I think in general, this issue wound up having less potency over the long haul, at least for this midterm, than I think Democrats had predicted.
So, Kristen, if you take a look at sort of the closest Senate races right now, do you think that they all move in one direction or do you think that there's sort of a split? So right now, obviously, John Fetterman's disastrous debate performance in Pennsylvania has given a shot in the arm to Mehmet Oz. There's already been a lot of early voting in Pennsylvania, which is a fairly strong argument against early voting in general. But it looks like that one is a dogfight. It looks like Herschel Walker in some of the polling is starting to pull away in Georgia. Blake Masters is suddenly extraordinarily competitive in Arizona. It's possible Kerry Lake drags him over the finish line. It looks like Laxalt is going to win in Nevada if the polls hold steady here. How much credence should we be giving the polls right now? And historically speaking, when there has been polling error, it always seems to move in the direction of the Democrats. Is that happening this year as well?
Well, it's not necessarily the case that poll hair is always in that one direction. You had it go the opposite way 10 years ago in the Mitt Romney versus Barack Obama presidential election. So it's possible that the polls could miss the other direction. But everything we know about why the polls don't seem to be working does suggest that if it's off, it's going to be undercounting Republicans this time around. So that's why I like to tell everybody, think about the polls this year as an experimental treatment to a disease we are just beginning to learn about. That we know that the polls are off, and pollsters are kind of throwing everything against the wall to see what will stick and what will work and what will be accurate. Even at my own firm, Echelon Insights, we're trying to do our best to understand how do you best gauge what's going on in an election in a world where it's hard to get people on the phone, where we know that it's hard to reach people online. So I am a pollster coming to you and saying, everybody listening, take the polls with a grain of salt. We are not out there saying that these are the absolute truth. We know just how much could possibly be going wrong with the polls this year.
We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, I want to invite you to a higher calling on the Ben Shapiro Show. Will you join me? We've partnered with Preborn. It's an organization whose sole mission is to rescue babies from abortion. Preborn clinics are located in the top abortion areas in the country, where the majority of abortions still take place. Preborn offers love, support, and free ultrasounds to women. It's the nation's largest provider of free ultrasounds. You see, when a woman meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. The majority of the time, she's going to choose life. For just $28, you can save a life with one ultrasound. For $140, you can help rescue 5 babies' lives. Now, through a match, your gift is doubled, saving twice as many babies. To donate securely, just call #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. All gifts are tax deductible. Preborn is a 501c3 organization. Preborn babies need our help. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to stop women from getting ultrasounds, especially because they know that women who see ultrasounds tend to preserve the lives of their preborn children. Help out Preborn today. Go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro, or call #250 and say keyword baby. We're speaking with Kristen Soltis Anderson. She's a pollster, and she is also a Sirius XM host and author of The Selfie Vote and CNN contributor. So, Kristen, you know, when we watch election night unfold, what are sort of the early bellwethers that you're going to be looking for to determine just how big this wave is going to be? Which are the races we should be keeping an eye on, you know, as they come in Eastern time?
Well, I am a Florida gal, and I always like to tell people to watch Florida, not because I think that Ron DeSantis or Marco Rubio are legitimately at risk of losing reelection, but because Florida is a state that if things were not going to go Republicans' way, you might see those races wind up being a little closer than expected. And Florida is very efficient at counting ballots. Florida is a great state for making sure that you know early on election night what's going on. So I would keep an eye on Florida, again, not because I think those races are going to fall away from the GOP, but if the margins are bigger or smaller than expected, that's where I would watch. I think similarly, keep your eye, you know, Georgia is a state that I'm going to be watching, even though they're not going to be as fast at counting ballots as Florida, because Georgia could very well go to a runoff. And so keeping an eye early on, how much are those third party candidates doing? Are they taking a pretty big chunk of the vote? And by pretty big, I mean just 2 or 3 points, but enough that could actually push that close race to a runoff, because that might mean we don't know who controls the Senate on November 8th or November 9th, that it goes all the way to December.
So if you're looking at those Florida races, and obviously I'm now a Florida resident also, I have actually voted early, taking advantage of the rule that you can now vote 8 years in advance of an election. So I voted, obviously, for the Republicans in the race. What's the over-under that we should be looking for right there? Because the polls are showing a pretty strong gap right now for Rubio over Val Demings. They're showing a major gap for Ron DeSantis over Charlie Crist on average, like 10, 11 points. So if those votes come in at 7, is that an underperformance for Republicans? Like, what would represent an under or an overperformance for Republicans in those races?
I think if either of those races is within – I think if the Senate race is within 5 points and if the governor's race is within 10, that's when I'd start going, huh, I wonder what's going on here. And those are just sort of rough numbers that I'm throwing out there. But you can also keep an eye on things like House races, state legislative races. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff down ballot as well, where because of redistricting, everybody's going to be running in districts that are geographically a little different than they did before. So keep an eye on what's going on further down the ballot in a place like Florida. Even if the top of the ticket seems pretty secure, that's where you can follow along and see if Republicans are over or underperforming expectations.
By the way, it is worth noting at this point that Ron DeSantis won his gubernatorial race over Andrew Gillum by 30,000 votes last time. And we're talking about it would be an underperformance if he wins by 9 in a gubernatorial race over Charlie Crist, which is an astonishing change in the state of Florida. So, Kristen, you recently performed a poll with the Harvard Institute of Politics looking at the youths of America. And it basically suggests, I think, some things that we already knew, like that the youths are heavily Democrat, that they're going to vote heavily Democrat. They don't like Joe Biden very much, is what this tends to show. It shows also that after 2018, it's likely that they're going to vote at a 40% clip as opposed to historically at a 30%. What was the most surprising thing that you found about this poll?
Sure. So I want to clarify for your listeners, I did not do this poll. I have been a fan of Harvard's IOP poll for a while because they actually let students get involved in writing the questions. So rather than a bunch of people who, frankly, like me, are old millennials or older trying to come in and write these questions, they let young people do it themselves. So I have seen some contradictory data around this youth vote turnout question. On the one hand, my firm is predicting sky-high turnout in this midterm. We're predicting 125 million votes cast. I mean, just absolutely astronomical midterm turnout. In order for that to happen, you've got to be extracting a lot of votes from places that don't typically vote. And young voters in midterms is one of those places. Now, my own firm's analysis says that we actually think as a proportion of all voters, young voters might be a smaller piece of the pie. We're a little bit skeptical of this idea that young voters are going to turn out in as big a numbers as they did in 2018. However, we could wind up just seeing with a huge turnout election overall and just every American feeling like politics is a life or death kind of issue, that you do see some of those folks on the fringes who might have otherwise sat out saying, you know what, I'm going to go vote this time.
That's it. Kristen Soltis Anderson, you can check out all of her work over at her Twitter account, and you can also check out her work over at SiriusXM. Kristen, thanks so much for joining the show. It's great to talk to you.
Of course. Thanks, Ben.
More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has 5 or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Alrighty, coming up, we'll be joined by my friend Andrew Klavan. He has a brand new book out. We'll talk about that. Plus, Elon Musk taking over Twitter. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Voting is your right and civic duty. It is important to know who is running for office and to know the definition of proposed measures that are set to appear on the ballot. Read up on political issues and figure out where you stand. Get out and talk to people and learn more about who could represent you and your interests. Attend local forums involving political candidates and find out if their interests align with yours. Be informed. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us online is Andrew Klavan, host of the Andrew Klavan Show on Daily Wire Plus. He's author of the brand new book, A Strange Habit of Mine. It's a crime novel sequel to his 2021 book, When Christmas Comes. Signed copies are available right now at the DW store. Andrew, great to talk to you.
It's good to see you.
So, first of all, you've been writing a book a year. That is a lot of writing. So when are you finding time to do this?
If you wake up early enough, you can do almost anything. That is my whole secret to life. If it's not early enough, wake up even earlier. And I just wake up at about 5 o'clock every morning, sit down and go to work. And by 10 o'clock, I'm ready to do everything else.
Well, Andrew, tell us a little bit about A Strange Habit of Mine. By the way, here's what the book looks like. It looks beautiful. And it is a Cameron Winter mystery. For those who didn't read When Christmas Comes, do you have to have read When Christmas Comes in order to enjoy A Strange Habit of Mine?
No, absolutely not. In fact, this is kind of Cameron Winter's origin story, so it really begins at the beginning. But this is the first time in a long career, this is the first time I've ever come up with a character I wanted to turn into a series. And I was writing that book, When Christmas Comes, which was just supposed to be a kind of Christmas one-off. And in the middle of it, I thought, wow, this guy is really a complicated, interesting character. So in this one, I set him up against a social media billionaire who he believes is basically canceling people forever. Anybody who disagrees with me not only cancels them, they stay canceled. And so he starts to hunt him down, and he's dealing with a guy who's every bit as intelligent as he is, but far more powerful, far more wealthy, and it's a real battle of wits, and I think it's very exciting. The first reviews on Amazon have been kind of ecstatic, so I'm really happy at the reaction so far.
Andrew, as you said, you've written some series before that have contained the same characters. You wrote kind of a teen novel series that contained the same character, the Mind War series. In this one, what makes Cameron Winter so attractive to you as a character that you want to write a bunch of books with him?
Well, you know, I noticed a while back we had a kind of golden age of crime stories on television, and I noticed they were all The Shield and The Sopranos, Breaking Bad, and they were all about anti-heroes. And there's a famous philosopher, René Girard, who says that when a culture is in a tragic phase, it can't produce heroes, it can only produce anti-heroes. And the thing about Cameron Winter is he's been an anti-hero. He went out to sort of exercise his manhood and defend his country and be part of his country. And now he feels he has a lot of blood on his hands, and he wants to learn how to go from being an anti-hero to being a hero. And that spoke so much to me about what's going on in our culture, about how to recover the kind of manhood that is not just the manhood that destroys, even the manhood that protects, but is the manhood that creates and is beautiful and has, you know, is capable of love. And that's what Cameron Winter is trying to make of himself. And it's a real, really difficult thing to do. And interestingly, it makes the women kind of the center of the stories. I kind of noticed this in both books, which took me by surprise. And when Christmas Comes, there was a woman named Jennifer who kind of was the moral center of the story. And in this, there's a woman named Molly who is an ordinary, quote unquote, church girl from the Midwest. And this billionaire social media tycoon sweeps down and carries her off and makes her a billionaire wife. And it's really her story as much as his. And it's interesting because Winter, she's exactly the kind of girl Winter is looking for, wants to be worthy of. And so he's really a little bit jealous of this guy he's hunting down, makes his motives a little bit murky. And it just becomes a very interesting story. So everything, I don't know, everything about the guy sort of speaks to me about the moment we're in, which is a very, very dissociative, crazy moment when our culture, I mean, I lived through a culture much better than this one. And this culture is really unraveling. And so I'm trying to depict what it looks like to become a good man in a culture that's falling apart. And Cameron Winter is just a perfect vehicle for that.
So, Andrew, obviously the villain of the piece is a social media honcho who wants to control the lives of other people. It sounds like I can't imagine where you got ideas for this sort of stuff. A lot of your books are obviously driven by the headlines, driven by sort of the news cycle. So what made you so invested in this particular narrative?
Well, you know, I think this is what's happening. One of the reasons I think everything has gone insane is that all these epochs have ended at once. So the post-World War II epoch has ended. The Reagan-Clinton era has ended. And the baby boomers, please God, are finally dying off. I'm just hoping they won't take me with them. But you know, this whole moment we're in is a transitional moment. And at the same time, the internet has come upon us as this alien intelligence, as David Bowie once said, that has taken over our entire intercourse. And it's really a combination of the printing press and the Industrial Revolution kind of rolled into one. It's changing everything about the way we interact with one another. It's changing everything about the power balances between ordinary people and the people in the heights of power. There's this great struggle going on between the elites and ordinary people because, just like with the invention of the printing press, suddenly everybody has all the information all at once, and it's happening incredibly rapidly. So here's a guy who's actually in that moment, in charge of that moment, running that moment, and it all depends on him to be sort of better man than maybe he is. And it's just, he's an interesting character to watch because he's had a tragic life and he has a lot of money with which to fill his emptiness, and you can actually watch how he's creating himself and what that leads to and why Winter wants to go after him.
Andrew, obviously, this is crossing streams pretty significantly with the news. Elon Musk just took over Twitter. He fired the entire executive team, so it sounds like he's the reverse of the villain in your particular story. And the left is just in a state of sheer panic about Musk taking over Twitter. They think that he's going to, you know, release all of the banshees of hell, that he's going to open all of the doors to Arkham Asylum, and suddenly, you know, evil and terrible people like Jordan Peterson might be allowed to say that men are not women and women are not men anymore. Now, what do you make of Musk's takeover of Twitter?
It's an amazing theory that is making them hysterical. That the idea before was, if you said trans women are women in capital letters five times in a row, like a sort of magic spell, it would become true. But the minute anybody, even the Babylon Bee as a joke, suggested that perhaps those five sentences in capital letters had no effect on reality whatsoever, the entire thing crumbled. It like turned to sort of glassy dust and just sprinkled to the ground. And now they're just terribly afraid that Elon Musk will allow people to come in and say things that are outside of the narrative that has meant so much to the left. And, you know, it's funny, you and I don't have to do that. You and I are perfectly happy to have people say trans women are women, as long as people can also make jokes about it in the Babylon Bee. And why is that? I think it's because we have reality on our side. And reality is a very, very powerful tool. You only have to let somebody whisper the truth for all the lies to fall apart. And I happen to think this is going to be a major event. I mean, I think the left is right to be afraid. I think they're right to be hysterical. I think that people are yearning for sanity. They're yearning to have the truth come back online. And yeah, does that mean some loudmouths are going to be boorish and say cruel things to people? It sure does. But it also means that the truth is going to be free and you won't be canceled or lose your job or be called down to HR because you spoke things that everybody has known since the beginning of time. So I just think it was always, always a bad bet that the left had, that they could silence the truth forever. This idea of a boot stomping on a human face forever that you get from 1984 didn't work the last time. It's not going to work this time. And in America, where people still have a habit of wanting to say what they have to say and say what they see in front of their eyes, I just don't think it was a good strategy. And I think it's falling apart even as the midterms approach. We see just it unraveling as people say, no, it's just not true. The things you're saying don't work. Don't make people happier. Everybody's miserable. Everybody's more miserable since Biden came into office. You know, people are going to actually speak their minds, and all the magic lies just disappear.
Yeah, Drew, it'll never not be hilarious that it will be seen as a historic inflection point that a bunch of purple-haired interns got Twitter to ban a Christian satire site for saying men are not women. And this will be seen as a historical inflection point. It just shows how insane our society has become. Folks, if you have not yet, go pick up a copy of this particular book right here, whose title I know, Drew, A Strange Habit of Mine by Andrew Klavan. Go check it out. It is, I can't wait to read it this week, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well. Drew, congrats on the book.
Thanks a lot. It's great talking to you.
All righty. Well, we will be back here with much, much more next week. In the meantime, rest up because we are getting very, very close to the midterms, and I'm sure next week will be a barn burner considering that Democrats are in a state of sheer panic. The President of the United States is going with Kamala Harris to Pennsylvania to try to prop up John Fetterman. We'll give you an update on how all of that went next week. Plus, things are getting hot internationally. I know that we haven't been paying a lot of attention to what's going on with China and Taiwan, but that is getting very fraught. The Russia-Ukraine war continues. So, again, it's going to be very busy next week. Rest up over the weekend. Try to let your mind relax. And on Monday, we'll be back here doing it all again. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The monitoring of ballot drop boxes can continue in Arizona, so says Judge Michael Liberti. Left-wing group Arizona Alliance for Retired Americans filed a motion to ban the group Clean Elections USA from monitoring the boxes, saying they're violating the Voting Rights Act by intimidating voters. The judge said the group's intended conduct is protected under the First Amendment. One of the big races for control of the U.S. Senate is in Ohio, where Democratic Congressman Tim Ryan is in a tight contest with author and Republican J.D. Vance. Democratic Party strategist Dale Butlin admits that the 2022 midterms could be damaging for all Democrats, including Congressman Tim Ryan.
The problem he's going to have, like all Democrats are going to have, is that in a midterm election, history tells you that the party in power in the White House always loses seats. It's never a good year for the party in power.
Republican Party strategist Mark Weaver says he thinks challenger J.D. Vance will keep the Senate seat held by the retiring Rob Portman in GOP hands.
Every single vote counts, and if J.D. Vance wins, that could be enough to let the Republicans take back the U.S. Senate.
The U.S. is imposing sanctions on an Iranian group that put a multi-million-dollar bounty on Salman Rushdie's head. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
American officials say as recently as 2012, the 15 Cordat Foundation raised its bounty to $3.3 million, claiming the full sum would be given to anyone who assassinated the author. Rushdie wrote the satanic verses, which some Muslims consider blasphemous, and prompted Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini to issue a 1989 fatwa calling for his death. Rushdie's recovering from an August attack at a literary event in western New York that his agent says cost him his sight in one eye and the use of a hand. Ben Thomas, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
Taiwan is asking Chinese veterinarians for help in treating a male panda.
Tuan Tuan, alongside his breeding partner Yuan Yuan, have lived in Taipei Zoo ever since they were gifted to the island by China over a decade ago. But the 18-year-old bear has become increasingly unwell, suffering a number of seizures and being diagnosed with a brain lesion. As a result, Taiwan has called upon vets from mainland China to help assess Tuan Tuan's situation as he moves into end-of-life care. Relations have recently worsened between China and Taiwan, which Beijing regards as a breakaway province. But officials say that due to Tuan Tuan's poor health, an exception has been made.
BBC correspondent Jacob Evans reporting. Utah's bid to host an upcoming Olympics may be helped by a decision made yesterday by the city of Vancouver. Officials there announced they're withdrawing their request to host the Games. Pending home sales down sharply as mortgage rates surge. National Association of Realtors says they dropped 10% in September. News and analysis at townhall.com. Arizona agrees not to enforce a total abortion ban until 2023.
Planned Parenthood said services would resume statewide, including at clinics in Metro Phoenix and in Flagstaff. Over the summer, Arizona's Republican Attorney General had asked a court to allow a law dating back to 1864 banning abortions to be enforced. That law carries a prison sentence of 2 to 5 years. Arizona's Attorney General has now agreed not to enforce the ban until after all appeals are final. That means abortions will remain legal until after 15 weeks gestation, at least until early January, and likely longer. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
13 people are rescued by the Coast Guard off the Virginia coast. A fishing vessel and a container ship collided about 60 miles offshore. The fishing boat began to sink. The Coast Guard says no injuries were reported. Everyone was rescued. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, and welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, Elon Musk is in at Twitter, and he is firing everyone as he pledged to do, and I am here for it. I think everybody else who's been on Twitter for the past several years and is not a wild leftist bent is here for it as well. Twitter's moderation has been a bleep show for a very long time. They've been banning people willy-nilly right and left, people ranging from Alex Jones to the Babylon Bee to Jordan Peterson for a wide variety of unspecified crimes. They can never quite be specific enough as to what exactly was violated. Their standards are incredibly loose. Somehow, the Ayatollah Khamenei, he's fine while he's railing about how the Jews should be destroyed. But somehow, Jordan Peterson is banned for saying that men cannot be women. Twitter's content moderation policies have basically been a weapon on behalf of the left. And what it's meant is that everybody has to skirt all of their rules. So there are things that you just can't say on Twitter. So, for example, when there was controversy over whether ivermectin was a good treatment for COVID-19, you couldn't even claim that ivermectin was a good treatment for COVID-19, even though it did work for a lot of people and is still controversial as to how well ivermectin works. You still could not say, even though the evidence showed that widespread masking did not stop the transmission of the virus. You weren't allowed to say that vaccines were not effective in stopping the transmission of the virus. These are things that you were not allowed to say on Twitter. And if you said them on Twitter, then you would immediately have your account suspended. The number of personal friends that I have who have been suspended from Twitter is incredibly high. And we're talking about people who are not wild-eyed people. We're talking about people like Dave Rubin. We're talking about Babylon Bee, Libs of TikTok, Jordan Peterson. Like, all these people have been suspended or banned outright from Twitter. Well, now Elon Musk is back. He is in charge, and he is firing everyone as well he should. He said he was going to fire 75% of the staff. And frankly, I think that's low. He needs to go a little bit higher than that, because the simple fact of the matter is Twitter is a bloated bureaucracy. It's filled with people who had jobs like diversity, equity, and inclusion manager. It is a platform. It is a platform for speech. Elon Musk understands that. Now, Elon Musk did say yesterday, and he is correct, that this does not mean that there are no standards at Twitter. It's not as though you should be able to get on Twitter and actively threaten violence against other human beings. And it's even possible that Elon Musk has his own Overton window. Right? The Overton window is the window of acceptable speech. And we all have it, right, in our own lives. There's certain people we don't want to be friends with and we don't want over at our houses because their opinions are just too vile, right? You wouldn't want a skinhead Nazi over at your house with your kids because your Overton window is personally not big enough to encompass that, nor, in my opinion, should it be. You should not be forced to have that person over at your house. And if you own a platform like Twitter, presumably there will be an Overton window beyond which there are certain opinions that are just too far. They just go too far. But those should be as close to the legal line of free speech as humanly possible, meaning that there are certain things that are not protected by free speech in the United States. Pornography is really not protected by free speech in the United States. And we like to pretend that it is, but historically speaking, it just was not. The idea of a violent threat, that is not protected. Full-on defamation is not protected by free speech in the United States. Well, if you're a platform, what you should try to do is hew as close to the First Amendment line as humanly possible, because, indeed, that is what you were created to do. If the whole idea of Twitter is that it was a digital town square, then treat it like a digital town square, meaning that it is a neutral forum for discussion. And that's going to include crazy people who are over there on the side, standing on an Apple box and shouting at everybody. It will. The good news is that unlike that town square where that person is noise polluting, in the digital town square you have a mute button and you have the ability to algorithmically shape what it is that you wish to see. And I think that Elon Musk understands this. So the hue and cry at Twitter is just insane. People at Twitter are weeping openly online. You're seeing people from the left, the people in the media, who are just, we're going to abandon Twitter. We're going to run screaming from this place. What are we going to do? We're going to have to leave. Taylor Lorenz, of course, one of the worst actors online, she's leading that charge. Hilariously, she's actually like, you know, I need to tweet out my Substack so people can see my stuff over there. Substack is also a free speech platform where a bunch of people Taylor Lorenz hates are, including libs of TikTok, by the way. Well, now, according to the Associated Press, Musk has taken control of Twitter and ousted the CEO, CFO, and the company's top lawyer, two people familiar with the deal, said Thursday night. The people wouldn't say if all the paperwork for the deal had been signed or if the deal had been closed. They said Musk is in charge of the social media platform. He fired CEO Parag Agrawal, CFO Ned Siegel, and chief legal counsel Vijaya Gadde. Neither person wanted to be identified because of the sensitive nature of the deal. Now, you saw Vijaya Gadde just get absolutely eviscerated on one episode of Joe Rogan. Tim Pool just destroyed her on Joe Rogan, right? Just asking her about how exactly you make these decisions as to what is bannable and what is not. She had no answers whatsoever. Agrawal has presided over the widespread feeling that Twitter is a forum for the left, and if you say anything that violates the most strictly held standards, then you will be banned. A few hours after the firing, Musk tweeted, "The bird has been freed." You know, just from a pure objective level, Musk is a lot of fun. I mean, is it okay to say that a billionaire is fun? I know that we're supposed to believe that billionaires are very dour or world-controlling. They'll have to be do-gooders like Bill Gates, who I guess is having fun on the side of his pool house. But aside from that, he's supposed to be, you know, a person who's out there to, you know, very serious people. I love the fact that Musk is not totally serious. I think that is a wonderful, wonderful thing for the world. The departures came just hours before a deadline set by a Delaware judge to finalize the deal on Friday. She threatened to schedule a trial if no agreement was reached. Although they came quickly, the major personnel moves have been widely expected. They are almost certainly the first of many changes the Tesla CEO will make. Musk privately clashed with Agrawal in April, immediately before deciding to make a bid for the company, according to text messages later revealed in court filings. About the same time, he used Twitter to criticize Gadde, the company's top lawyer. His tweets were followed by a wave of harassment of Gadde from other Twitter accounts. Like, this is one of the garbage lines the media like to use, is that if you tweet about somebody, and then a lot of people don't like what that person said, and they harass that person, that's your fault. Okay, as probably one of the most harassed people on Twitter, I've never complained about that, because guess what? I've got a mute button. I have the ability to not look at Twitter. I have many, Twitter is a wonderful outlet for me to be able to tweet my thoughts. It's also a place filled with stupid people and annoying people. And you know what I'm able to do? I've never called for a single person to be banned from Twitter. I have not, because I have a thing. It is called a mute button, and I can use it whenever I please. For Gadde, an 11-year Twitter employee who also heads public policy and safety, the harassment included racist and misogynist attacks, in addition to calls for Musk to fire her. On Thursday, after she was fired, the harassing tweets lit up once again. And this notion that you are responsible, if you criticize a person and a bunch of other people decide to act in bad fashion against that person, you are then responsible for this? This ends political speech in the United States. Because guess what? We all criticize each other. And yes, there are a bunch of people out there who act in stupid fashion and then harass those people. Does that mean that you are responsible for the harassment? This is the game that the media love to play. The media are particularly angry here because you have to understand what the game here was, particularly for the mainstream media when it comes to these big social media platforms like Facebook or like Twitter. And it's true for all of them. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, like the media have their standard. A little bit more on this in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Here is what happened. Back in the 1970s and 1980s, there were only 3 major media outlets, the TV outlets. And you had some newspapers, yeah, like the New York Times and the Washington Post. Nothing else had mass readership. Then the rise of the Internet happened in the 1990s, particularly the late 1990s, started by Drudge Report. Then all of a sudden, you had a wide variety of outlets that people could access for their news. You know, I'm old enough to remember the beginnings of the news internet in the late 1990s, early 2000s, when suddenly everybody could get their information from different places. And the way that you would access that information typically is you would bookmark like 10 pages. And nobody has ever used a bookmark in the next generation. I'm talking about my generation, the millennials. The millennials, what we would do is we would actually just bookmark like 10 pages. And you'd go in the morning and you'd check. You'd go to your bookmark for Fox News, and your bookmark for Drudge Report, and your bookmark for Town Hall or Hot Air. Right? This is what you would do. Then these big social media platforms sprang up, and they started garnering billions of eyeballs. And so all of these news outlets started to move their feed onto the social media platforms. These became the place where you would access your news. So from now on, if you wanted your cultivated news feed, it was much simpler than hitting 10 different bookmarks to just have a cultivated news feed that brought up all the news you otherwise would see. And there was some algorithmic programming that allowed you to see some news that maybe you hadn't clicked on before. That's the way that the news feed worked. And the same thing was true of Twitter, right? You would follow all the accounts of those people you were already bookmarking, and then you would get the news from Twitter. Well, what this allowed is for the possibility, because it was all via Facebook or all via Twitter or all via Instagram, it allowed for the possibility that all of those major outlets could just turn the spigot, and suddenly all the places that you were following would just be silenced. And suddenly you were getting your news, again, from the mainstream media. All the people that you had been attempting to avoid for 20 years, suddenly you were getting your news from them again. You had to hear from the Washington Post or the New York Times. You couldn't hear from Daily Wire or from Breitbart or from any of the other right-wing outlets that you normally would follow. And the mainstream media loved this. This was their favorite thing in the entire world. They loved it because it reestablished a media monopoly that they had lost with the rise of the Internet. And naturally, this ticked a lot of people off. And one of those people was Elon Musk. And you ticked off the wrong billionaire, because it turns out that it's going to be hilarious, because 100 years from now, when the history of the United States is written, an inflection point is going to be Twitter banning the Babylon Bee for a headline about how men are not women. That's an actual historical inflection point. That's it. Because the left got so crazy over their skis on this. They got so bullying and vicious to the heads of the social media companies that the heads of the social media companies decided that they were basically going to crack down on anything that violated left-wing scruples. Because that's what happened here. I mean, if you actually look at the difference from what Jack Dorsey, the head of Twitter, used to say about free speech, to what he started to say about free speech about 5 years into his tenure at Twitter, you look at the difference between how Mark Zuckerberg used to talk about free speech versus how Mark Zuckerberg talked about free speech just a couple of years later. You can see a radical shift that happened. Both Dorsey and Zuckerberg, they used to talk about free speech in exactly the same terms that I'm talking about free speech. It should be the broadest possible window that allows for all people to have conversations, and if you don't like it, you can turn it off. I keep citing the speech that Zuckerberg gave at Georgetown in 2018, I believe, in which he talked about this, right? He openly talked about we need to have a broad platform for speech. I'm not the great arbiter of what's true and what's not. It is not my job to determine what you should see and what you should not see, because you're an adult. And then, because of all the pressure that was brought to bear in the aftermath of the election of Donald Trump, all of these social media companies collapsed, because you started to see Democrats and members of the media start blaming all of these social media companies for all the ills of the world. And all these social media companies, which were treated up till then as wonderful, wonderful things, because after all, these wonderful, wonderful social media companies had allowed for things like the Arab Spring. You remember this? Or they'd allowed for the election of Barack Obama. Remember, all the talk in 2012 was about how genius the Obama team was for manipulating the data via Facebook in order to win re-election. It's a genius team. Then, of course, when Trump's team did it with Cambridge Analytica, then all these social media platforms became super bad. And Facebook then became very bad. So in the aftermath of Trump being elected, which was a world-shattering event for the left, they started to push really hard on the social media networks. Because it couldn't be that Hillary lost because she was a crap candidate, or because she did a bad job. She must have lost because the social media networks had been penetrated by the Ruskies. Or the social media networks were too broad-minded. And, you know, free speech is a real dangerous thing. Free speech could be undermined by free speech. And so they started to clamp down. And the social media bros, because they were weak-kneed, also started to clamp down. Right? They pressed on that pressure to the user. Yet Dianne Feinstein openly threatening Mark Zuckerberg, senator from California, saying, if you don't regulate yourself, we will regulate you. And so Zuckerberg and team would say to these legislators, okay, fine, please regulate us, right? Create a system of regulation that makes for an even playing field. And Democrats say, no, it's up to you. You have to please us. Dance to our tune. And many of these social media platforms did. And then along came Elon Musk. And Elon Musk said, I'm not going to dance to that tune. I think that your tune is stupid. I think that your tune is monopolistic. And this is why the panic has set in. This is why the media are now attempting to treat Elon Musk as though he is some sort of threat to freedom. I love their line. Their line is, Elon Musk is a threat to freedom. Billionaires in charge of major platforms are a threat to freedom. Except for, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates and George Soros. And, you know, all the billionaires we like, those guys are not a threat to freedom, no matter how many billions of dollars they set into the Western democratic system. They're all, those are the good ones. But Elon Musk is a bad one. Why? Because he disagrees with us. And because he might break our monopoly. We'll get to more of this in just a moment. But first, a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, the media have come up with their first complaint against Elon Musk. People are now being mean online to the people he fired. Oh no. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street Blade and Barrel, thank you, Redding Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Redding. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Bard.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the media are fighting mad that Elon Musk has now taken over Twitter, and they are focusing their ire on the fact that some people are being mean online to the people he fired. That's why you're seeing coverage like this from the Associated Press. Oh my God, people were mean to the former lawyer for Twitter online because Elon Musk criticized her. That means that Elon Musk is mean. And that means that Elon Musk is bad. And that means that people shouldn't advertise on Twitter. This is the goal. Musk's changes, according to the Associated Press, will be aimed at increasing Twitter's subscriber base and revenue. In the first big move earlier on Thursday, Musk tried to sue the leery Twitter advertisers, saying he's buying the platform to help humanity and doesn't want it to become a free-for-all hellscape. The message appears to be aimed at addressing concerns among advertisers that Musk's plans to promote free speech by cutting back on moderating content will open the floodgates to more online toxicity and drive away users. Now, again, that is not what's happening with these advertisers. These advertisers are not afraid that tons of people are going to stop using Twitter as a service. The reality is that Twitter's numbers have been inflated for a very long time. There's a small cadre of people who are very active on Twitter. They tend to be professionals like me who are in the Twitter space disseminating information. The number of people who actively use Twitter, who actively tweet, is much smaller than the number of people who are Twitter subscribers, right? The number of people who have accounts on Twitter. So they're not afraid of mass drop-off. What's happening right now is left-wing pressure groups are going to advertisers and saying, you should not advertise on Twitter because we are going to then initiate boycotts against you. We'll initiate secondary boycotts against you. Now, here's what advertisers should say. They should throw up the bird. They should free the bird against these left-wing activists. Because this is what left-wing activists always do. Left-wing activists are constantly going to advertisers and telling them that advertisers should basically be the free speech police. They should advertise on Positive America, but they definitely, definitely should not advertise on shows like this one. This is what left-wing activists do. And so what advertisers should do, if they have stones, is say, no, we're going to advertise however we like. We're going to reach users of all different political bents. In the end, by the way, I think that is what will happen. There'll be a little upset right now. People will get a little dyspepsia. And then it will be over. Musk wrote, quote, the reason I have acquired Twitter is because it is important to the future of civilization to have a common digital town square where a wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. He continued, there's currently great danger social media will splinter into far right wing and far left wing echo chambers that generate more hate and divide our society. That, of course, is correct, because if Twitter continues along the lines that it is continuing, then you are going to see people of the right move to other platforms. Musk has previously expressed distaste for advertising and Twitter's dependence on it, suggesting more emphasis on other business models like paid subscriptions that won't allow big corporations to dictate policy on how social media operates. On Thursday, he assured advertisers he wants Twitter to be the most respected advertising platform in the world. Pinar Yildirim, an associate professor of marketing at University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, says the note is a shift from Musk's position. Twitter is unfairly infringing on free speech rights by blocking misinformation or graphic content. But it's also a realization that having no content moderation is bad for business. Well, he never said there shouldn't be no content moderation. He just said that the Overton window that's been created by a bunch of left-wing activists in executive positions at Twitter is not in consonance with good business practice. Musk, again, making these moves, firing everybody, shows that he intends to radically change the direction of the company, and that is a very good thing for Twitter. It is also a very good thing for the world. Musk intends to do away with permanent bans on users because he doesn't believe in lifelong prohibitions. That means people previously booted off the platform might be allowed to return, a category that would include former President Donald Trump. It's unclear if Trump would be allowed back on Twitter in the near term. I guarantee you Trump is coming back. There is no way that Musk takes over and Trump is not going to be allowed back on the platform. How would Musk even be able to justify that to himself? There's no way that Trump is not going to be allowed to return. By the way, the media will celebrate that because Trump is the media's lifeblood. The media have been losing money hand over fist since Trump left office, which is why they keep clinging to January 6th and going on Truth Social and finding Trump's random statements. The billionaire, according to Bloomberg, will bring immediate disruption to Twitter's operations, in part because many of his ideas for how to change the company are at odds with how it has been run for years. He said he wants to ensure free speech on the social network. More broadly, Musk's initiatives threaten to undo years of Twitter's efforts to reduce bullying and abuse on the platform. Again, the bullying and abuse, those are very vague terms. Because what Twitter has now said is that it is bullying or abuse to say that Elliot Page is a woman. Elliot Page is a woman. That is not bullying or abuse. That is a statement of fact. But according to Twitter, if I say Elliot Page is a woman, I might end up in a ban for life, the way that Jordan was. This is what the media fear. Again, they are losing their monopoly. They don't like losing their monopoly. And so they're going to have put extraordinary pressure on everybody to punish Twitter for not reestablishing the monopoly. That is precisely what they want to do. I don't think that Musk is going to cave to that, nor do I think he should cave to that. I think, as always, it is a left-wing toddler tantrum that is happening right now. And in the end, advertisers will continue advertising, users will continue using. All the people you see, the blue checks, are like, I'm leaving Twitter for... No, you're not. You're not going anywhere. We all know you're not going anywhere. You're a joke. You can't live without you and your echo chamber over at Twitter. No way. Taylor Lorenz is not abandoning the platform. Who else would she whine to while drinking wine out of very large glasses and stroking her seven cats? Alrighty, coming up, one of the reasons why it is very important to let a thousand flowers bloom on social media is because of legacy media. They are not trustworthy, and now Eric Wimple of the Washington Post is admitting as much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The Society of Animal Artists 62nd Annual Art and the Animal Exhibition is now at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring art in various media from artists around the world. Art and the Animal at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, outplay, have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, and emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Shasta Regional Medical Center presents Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum, now through January 29th. This highly interactive museum exhibition explores the science of the human body, great for all ages. Magnificent Me at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
X96-25.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So there's an amazing piece in the Washington Post today by Eric Wemple, basically admitting that the legacy media, they lie to you and they manipulate the information out of fear of the left wing. The real reason that the must takeover of Twitter is quite important is because you can't trust the mainstream media. By all available polls, most Americans do not trust the mainstream media. In fact, a huge percentage of Americans say that the mainstream media is actually a danger to democracy. Now, in the polls asking which is the biggest danger to democracy, something like 84% of Republicans say mainstream media is a danger to democracy, so do 54% of independents. So most Americans actually believe that the mainstream media is the danger, and not Twitter. One reason for that became clear in a column by Eric Wemple over at the Washington Post. Wemple is kind of an interesting media columnist. He's definitely of the left, but he is occasionally an honest journalist. He has a piece today titled, James Bennett Was Right. James Bennett, of course, was the editor, the op-ed editor over at the New York Times when he ran a piece by Senator Tom Cotton, claiming that in the middle of riot summer 2020, perhaps the federal government should call out the National Guard in order to quell the rioting. According to Wemple in the Washington Post, controversy over an op-ed by Senator Tom Cotton consumed the New York Times in June 2020 and claimed the job of then editorial page editor James Bennett. 2.5 years later, Bennett has shared some thoughts about the episode, and in particular, the role of Times publisher A.G. Sulzberger. Quote, he set me on fire and threw me in the garbage and used my reverence for the institution against me. This is what Bennett told Ben Smith at Semaphore. This is why I was so bewildered for so long, after I had felt like all my colleagues treated me like an incompetent fascist. Wemple says, that might sound like the angst of a guy who's still disgruntled at losing his job, and it is, for a compelling reason. Bennett is right. He's right about Sulzberger. He's right about the Cotton op-ed. He's right about the lessons that linger from his tumultuous final days at the Times. Because Bennett came under such heavy scrutiny for even running the Tom Cotton op-ed that he was essentially fired from his job and thrown under the bus. And here's what Wemple said. This is amazing. Quote, his outburst in Semaphore furnishes a toehold for reassessing one of the most consequential journalism fights in decades. To date, the lesson from the set-to, that publishing a senator arguing that federal troops could be deployed against rioters is unacceptable, will forever circumscribe what issues opinion sections are allowed to address. It's also long past time to explain why more people who claim to uphold journalism and free expression, including the Eric Wemple blog, didn't speak out then in Bennett's defense. It's because we were afraid to. That's an unbelievable admission by Eric Wemple. No one came to Bennett's defense. And Wemple admits the truth. It's because we were afraid to. So you ask, okay, afraid of what? What exactly were you guys afraid of? So here's what Eric Wemple writes. He says, after the Cotton op-ed was published, a backlash swiftly combusted. The Times staffers at the forefront of the critique, Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the Pulitzer Prize-winning 1619 Project, tweeted that the paper should have done a news story to push back against Cotton ideas, as opposed to, quote, simply giving over our platform to spew dangerous rhetoric. Astrid W. Herndon, a national politics reporter, made a similar point, tweeting that, quote, if electeds want to make a provocative argument, let them withstand the questions and context of a news story, not unvarnished and unchecked. There were other persuasive broadsides against the decisions to publish Cotton. No, they were not persuasive. Many Times staffers, however, forewent the rigor of argumentation and tweeted out the following line or something similar to express their disgust. Quote, running this puts black New York Times staff in danger. The formulation came from the internal group Black NYT and received the blessing of the News Guild of New York as legally protected speech because it focused on workplace safety. The danger tweets, along with a letter from Times employees slamming the op-ed, landed with impact. Although Sulzberger initially defended publication as furthering the principle of openness to a range of opinions, he bailed on that posture within hours. By the afternoon after publication, the paper had determined that the piece failed to, quote, meet our standards, according to a statement. As Sulzberger flip-flopped, an astonishing up-is-down moment unfolded at the paper's upper regions. Whereas media outlets typically develop arguments to defend work that comes under attack, the opposite scenario played out over the Cotton op-ed. Top Times officials, according to three sources, scrambled to pulverize the essay in order to vindicate objections rolling in from Twitter. A post-publication fact-check was commissioned to comb through the op-ed for errors, according to the sources, even though it had undergone fact-checking before publication. The paper's standards desk spearheaded work on an editor's note. By the way, this is true. I've written op-eds for the New York Times. They make you go through a rigorous and ridiculous fact-check process. I mean, it is the most extraordinary extended fact-check process I've ever gone through for any op-ed, and my op-ed was just an obit for Rush Limbaugh. Deputy Page editorial director James Dow, who pushed for publication, spent more than an hour on the phone with the Cotton aide that Thursday night to inventory alleged problems. Dow says the aide was pointedly unenthusiastic about the pursuit. It sounded like he had a gun to his head and he had to find something, the aide, who is no longer with Cotton's office, told his blog. The review did not deliver the factual bloodbath alleged by critics. The fact check flagged a misquotation that should have been rendered as a paraphrase. It also examined objections to Cotton's claim that cadres of left-wing radicals like Antifa were infiltrating protest marchers to exploit Floyd's death for their own anarchic purposes. That topic was the focus of various conflicting official statements and news stories, some of them published by the Times in the run-up to the Cotton op-ed and extending well beyond it. The editor's note asserted the claims about Antifa have not been substantiated and have been widely questioned. Such was the spirit of the editor's note, which went heavy on regrets about tone, process, and other squishy considerations, while asserting that the op-ed failed Times standards, says Eric Wemple. It also claimed that the essay's arguments were, quote, a newsworthy part of the current debate, a line that Dow championed, according to two sources. Elsewhere, it said the op-ed should have undergone greater scrutiny, even though at least five opinion editors participated in editing, according to sources. Although Bennett said he hadn't read the piece, he was involved in some early decisions about it, including the deletion of a criticism of Hannah Jones. So they actually took out a criticism of one of their columnists from the piece, and then she whined about it. Sulzberger seemed disappointed upon being told that the post-publication fact-check hadn't punctured the op-ed, according to a source involved in the process. The Eric Wemple blog asked the Times for another example of an editor's note apologizing for non-factual issues. The Times didn't answer that question, among others. The editor's note teed up Bennett's firing, technically resignation, as editorial page director. Media coverage of his departure noted the op-ed was one of several storms under Bennett's management. Others included a June 2017 editorial that triggered a defamation lawsuit from Sarah Palin, an anti-Semitic cartoon, and personal fiascos. The Cotton thing seemed like the final straw, except in hindsight, it wasn't a straw at all. In initially sticking up for the Times' role in publishing controversial affairs, says Eric Wemple, Sulzberger had it right. Okay, so why exactly didn't anybody in the media actually say this at any time? A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Well, says Eric Wemple, the Twitter chain claiming danger to Times staffers suffered from the same journalistic failings leveled at the op-ed. It was an exercise in manipulative hyperbole brilliantly calibrated for immediate impact. I actually knew what it meant to have a target on your back when you're reporting for the New York Times, Bennett told Smith, because he actually used to report for the New York Times in the Middle East. The Eric Wemple blog has asked 30 Times staffers whether they still believe their danger tweets and whether there was any merit in Bennett's retort. Not one of them replied with an on-the-record defense. Such was the depth of conviction behind a central argument in L'Affaire Cotton. Our criticism of the Twitter outburst comes 875 days too late. Although the hollowness of the internal uproar against Bennett was immediately apparent, we responded with an even-handed critique of the Times flip-flop, not the unapologetic defense of journalism the situation required. Our posture was one of cowardice and mid-career risk management. With that, we piled one more regret onto a controversy littered with them. So good for Eric Wemple for admitting it. But what he was really afraid of, he was afraid of Twitter. He was afraid of the Twitter mob, the left-wing Twitter mob, that has been left in charge of that service. This is why Musk taking over is so good. Because finally, the pushback will be allowed. And there was great fear on places like Twitter during BLM that if you said things like rioting is bad, the National Guard should be called, that you might be banned from places like Twitter. And the media culture that's been created by the left is unbelievably ideologically monopolistic. So Musk breaking that is a very, very good thing. And that Eric Wemple op-ed is just astonishing. And it just shows you how much of our mainstream media operates out of fear of the left-wing radicals who really are in control of these higher institutions. Okay, meanwhile, we are about to hit a midterm election in just about a week and a half right here. And Chuck Schumer was caught on a hot mic assessing the state of play. So Chuck Schumer told Joe Biden, you should know, first of all, that he's on mic. He said, the state where we're going downhill is Georgia. It's hard to believe they'll go for Herschel Walker. So he's admitting that. You can actually hear him doing that. The audio quality isn't very good, but you can actually hear Chuck Schumer doing that. He also suggests that they're optimistic a little bit more about Pennsylvania. He says, we're picking up steam in Nevada. This is him whistling past the graveyard right here. The reality is that the polls right now show that Democrats are in serious trouble in all three of those states. They're in serious trouble in Pennsylvania because of John Fetterman. They're in serious trouble in Georgia because, contrary to popular opinion, Raphael Warnock is a terrible candidate for the United States Senate, and he would have lost last time if President Trump had not personally intervened to drive away votes for the Republican candidate in Georgia. And right now in Nevada, Adam Laxalt is opening up a not insignificant lead. There's a new poll from Trafalgar that shows Laxalt up by 4. In fact, of the last polls, virtually all of them have Laxalt up. And it is fair to say that many of these polls are going to be skewed Democrat, because this has been true for every average polling error that we've seen over the past 10 years, essentially. It always tends to oversample Democrats. So right now, I'm just reading you the Real Clear Politics polling average in the Senate. Fetterman is up 0.3, which means dead heat, which means Oz is up. In fact, the latest polls show Oz up by 3 in the Insider Advantage poll. That's the one that's out today. Maggie Hassan in New Hampshire is up apparently only 3.4 in the Real Clear Politics polling average. The last two polls show that race within margin of errors. That could be a surprise race, especially because Democrats really intervened to get Don Baldick to be the nominee, because Baldick is considered more extreme, and they were hoping Maggie Hassan would have an easier run. Bud in North Carolina is up big. He's going to win that race. Laxalt, as I said, Nevada is up. I think he will win that race. In Arizona, Mark Kelly is within margin of error in every single poll that has been taken right now. And it is quite possible that Carrie Lake, who is wildly overperforming that governor's race, partially because she's good on TV and partially because Katie Hobbs is an awful candidate, that she could drag Blake Masters over the finish line in that very tight race. Herschel Walker right now in the polls is up. There's a Rasmussen poll that has him up 5 right now, despite all of this, right? Despite all of the scandals surrounding Herschel Walker and the fact that perhaps half the population of Georgia is biologically related to Herschel Walker. At this point, it doesn't matter. Herschel Walker looks like he's going to win that race walking away. And part of that, by the way, has to be due. Credit is due where credit is due to Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp is running away with his race against Stacey Abrams, the president of the universe. Right now, Brian Kemp in the Real Clear Politics polling average is up 7.4 points. The Rasmussen poll has him up 10. Okay, so he is dragging Herschel Walker along with him to victory. In Ohio, J.D. Vance is going to pull away with that race. In Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, who was once expected to lose that race, is going to win that race. Marco Rubio is blowing out Val Demings in Florida to the desperation of Democrats who've been hoping that Val Demings might overperform there. So you can see why Democrats are freaking out. And they're freaking out about other races as well. I've said that my sleeper pick in this particular midterm election is that Kathy Hochul goes down in New York. And you're starting to see the New York Times come around to that position. According to the New York Times, as governor's race tightens, a frantic call to action among Democrats. You don't need to consult the most recent polls to realize the race for New York governor between Governor Kathy Hochul and Representative Lee Zeldin appears to be tightening. just followed the string of Democrats' calls to action this week, says the New York Times, with just 12 days until Election Day. Democrats and their allies are mounting a frenzied push to keep Hochul in office, pouring millions of dollars into last-minute ads, staging a whirlwind of campaign rallies to energize their base amid concerns their typically reliable bedrock of Black and Latino voters might not turn out. Labor unions have been going into overdrive, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on TV and radio ads to cajole those voters to turn up for Hochul. The Hochul campaign has even turned to former primary adversaries for help, including the Working Families Party. Hochul is still leading most of the major polls. With that said, those polls are not particularly encouraging for Kathy Hochul at this point. She's up about 6 points in the Real Clear Politics polling average, but the last polls were done about 10 days ago, and they had Hochul up somewhere between 4 and 6 points. So that race has tightened dramatically. And even the New York Times is recognizing that Democrats are having to pour money down the rat hole of that race. Recent polls show Zeldin drawing closer to Hochul. Their head-to-head debate went very poorly for Kathy Hochul because she's never actually had to do a major debate for any rational reason. Alrighty, we'll get to more on this in 1 second. First, let's talk about a simple fact. We will all die. That's a depressing thought, but you could be walking down the street and suddenly an alligator is just hurled from the bushes at you. And next thing you know, you're battling off that alligator and thinking back to this very moment, listening to this very ad for Policy Genius and thinking, man, I really should have listened to Shapiro and gotten that life insurance. Policy Genius is the smarter way to find and buy the right coverage for you and your family. Policy Genius was built to modernize the life insurance industry. Their technology makes it easy to compare life insurance quotes with top companies, so you don't pay a cent more than you have to for that coverage. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $17 per month for $500,000 in coverage. And Policy Genius has licensed agents who can help you find options that offer coverage in as little as a week and avoid those unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius is not incentivized to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance because, again, they work for you. There are no personal fees. All your personal info is kept private. It's no wonder these guys have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and Trustpilot. So your loved ones deserve the financial safety net provided by life insurance. You deserve a smarter way to find and buy it. Head on over to PolicyGenius.com right now. Get your free life insurance quotes. See how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to the latest in the Senate battles. They're getting really bad for the Democrats. This is Ben Shapiro Show.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Carlene's and Deja Vu Restaurants.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246 YMCA, or go online to sfymca.org.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
To qualify.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So this election looks like it is turning the wrong way for Democrats. The GOP looks like it's in good shape in Oregon. For the first time in 40 years, Oregonians might choose a Republican governor. It's a three-way race. That race is being thrown in the air by Betsy Johnson, a former Democratic state senator. She ran as an independent. She's drawing an average of 14% in the polls. Former Democratic state senator, House Speaker Tina Kotek, and former state House GOP leader Christine Drazen are running evenly at just under 39%. Jessica Taylor, an editor at nonpartisan Cook Political Report, says Republicans have a lot of things going their way in this race. One of those things is that Portland is located in Oregon, and Oregon might not like how Portland is governed. And Portland is a Democratic city. Democrats hold every statewide office in Oregon. Biden won the state by 16. But voters don't like the crime. They don't like the homelessness. They don't like the public drug use. It turns out that major city governance has a rather large impact on how people think the state ought to be governed. So it could be that Oregon ends up with a Republican governor, which would, again, be a great shocker, obviously. As I mentioned before, black Democrats are, meanwhile, very, very upset because it turns out that a bunch of black female politicians are completely failing in their races, and the DCCC and the DCSC, the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, DSCC, they've been doing basically no fundraising in a lot of these races that were supposed to be big wins for black Democratic women. Stacey Abrams has spent a ton of money. She's getting her ass kicked in Georgia. Val Demings is spending money, but they're not dedicating a lot of money to her because she's getting her ass kicked in Florida. Remember, she was supposed to be the great hope for the Democratic Party in Florida. She's getting whomped in all the polls. The Democratic Senate Majority PAC, a group affiliated with the party leadership and its partners, had spent $10 million since May against Ted Budd in North Carolina. And meanwhile, Budd is just running away with the race. So it's fun to watch the precriminations from the Democratic Party. Black members of the Democratic Party are like, you're racist. That's why you're not spending money there. Far be it from me to defend the Democratic Party against charges of racism, but the reason they're not spending money in these races is because those candidates are going to lose. It's not because the candidates are black. John Fetterman, as expected, is falling apart in polling. WIC Insights has now a new post-debate poll from Pennsylvania. The polling has been limited in the aftermath of the debate. All the polling shows that Fetterman has lost ground. This poll shows Oz at 47.6 and Fetterman at 45.9. Now, there's been some early voting in Pennsylvania. This is one of the reasons why early voting is super duper bad. I voted early because it is available to me. I wish they would change the rules and it would not have been available to me and that you'd have to vote within like 3 days of the election unless you have some sort of excuse. The fact that people are voting months out from an election en masse is really bad because then there is late breaking information that might change your vote. In fact, one of the Google searches that was most highly trending in the aftermath of that Oz Fetterman debate was, how do I change my vote in Pennsylvania? You figure there have been something like 500,000 to 700,000 early votes in Pennsylvania. There will be 5 million votes probably in that election. The vast majority of people who vote early probably were dedicated partisans, not a lot of independents showing up to vote early. They tend to vote day of. What that means is that if the early votes in Pennsylvania are even remotely even, which they seem to be at this point by party ID, then Oz will win that race. Now, Democrats are struggling to come up with some sort of rationale for why precisely you should vote for John Fetterman, considering the fact that he is not fully functional. Again, it is not mean to say this. It is not ableist to say this. Ableism is if you say that a blind man is not capable of being a lawyer. It is not ableism to say that a blind man is not capable of being a pilot. Hey, John Fetterman cannot speak sentences. He cannot understand verbal sentences. It has to be written down for him. This is a major handicap in terms of whether you can perform your job in the United States Senate. That is not mean. That is just fact. And anybody who tells you differently is lying to you and assuming that you are a stupid person. But they've come up with another narrative. The narrative is now that John Fetterman is a hero. See him going on that stage and performing in the worst possible fashion, justifying everybody's fears about his health, justifying everybody's fears about his brain function. And that actually was an act of heroism. And Fetterman, he actually grew a third arm to pat himself on the back here, talking about what a hero he is for even going to debate in the first place. Now, here's the thing. Going to debate, that is a prereq for being in the Senate. And you tried to avoid it for as long as you could. The fact is that if Fetterman had avoided the debate, everybody would have understood the exact same thing they understood after watching the debate, which is the man is not fully functional. And he's not recovered from his stroke. And that, by the way, stroke recovery is really difficult. It's a very long process. There are good days and there are bad days. And not just that, it is quite possible that we've already seen the best that John Fetterman has to offer. And on good days, he can string together about a 5-minute speech. And on bad days, he looks like that debate performance. So John Fetterman had a debate. He did not have a political choice, but here he was declaring himself a hero.
No, it wasn't going to be easy after, you know, having a stroke after five months. In fact, in fact, I don't think that's ever been done before in American political history before, actually.
It's never been done. Well, I mean, that's true. And also, it was terrible. There's a reason that stroke victims typically don't do debates. Because stroke victims typically don't run for Senate after they've had the stroke months later. The Democratic Party should have stepped in and they should have made Conor Lamb the nominee. And by the way, if they had done so, that seat would basically be guaranteed to the Pennsylvania Democrats right now. Instead, it looks like they're going to lose to Mehmet Oz. Because the reality is that Fetterman is still struggling. While he's out there declaring himself a hero, here he was at a rally yesterday. And again, he's having trouble. Actually, this is him in an interview yesterday. Again, still having a lot of trouble.
No, and, you know, you talk about the liberty of statue. Has never had an inscription inside that said, you know, send your tired huddled masses and put them on a bus and turn them into a cheap political stunt.
That's true heroism. True heroism is your party using you in order to win a seat, even if you are not capable of doing the job. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The CDC says the polio virus is continuing to spread throughout the New York region. Officials say 8% of wastewater samples tested in 13 counties and New York City came back positive for polio in recent months. Self-described head twit says there will be no account reinstatements to Twitter until a newly created content moderation council evaluates the platform. Musk tweeted that the council will include widely diverse viewpoints. General Motors is suspending its advertising on Twitter following Musk's takeover. The Detroit automaker is a rival to Musk-led electric vehicle maker Tesla. GM says it's evaluating Twitter's new direction. A rally on Wall Street has led to its first weekly winning streak since summer. Correspondent Norman Hall has more.
Technology stocks led a broad rally, capping another strong week for the market as investors welcomed solid profits from Apple and other companies. The Dow rose 2.6%, the S&P rose 2.5% and posted the first back-to-back weekly gain since August. The Nasdaq climbed 2.9%. Smaller company stocks also gained ground. Apple's latest quarterly results showed the iPhone maker made even fatter profits during the summer than expected. Investors were also encouraged by a report on consumer spending that came a day after new data showing the economy grew modestly in the third quarter and inflation eased. I'm Norman Hall.
An investigation is underway after Cardinal Dolan's residence was attacked in Manhattan. Authorities say a wrench was thrown at the glass front door of the building, which is attached to St. Patrick's Cathedral. An investigation is underway. A list of performers for Sunday's celebration of Loretta Lynn's life keeps growing. The Grand Ole Opry in Nashville event will include Faith Hill, Sheryl Crow, Keith Urban, and Tim McGraw, among others. More on these stories at townhall.com.
And my name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country.
Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week? No thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Japan's prime minister announces a $260 billion stimulus package to combat inflation and revitalize their economy.
The prime minister, Fumio Kishida, said his government wanted to protect people's livelihoods, employment and businesses. The package includes measures to encourage wage growth and support households with energy bills, which have spiked since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The value of the yen has fallen by 20% this year compared to the US dollar. Prices have risen at their fastest rate in 8 years, although the 3% inflation rate remains well below levels seen in many Western countries.
BBC's David Banford. Turkey's president is promising a new constitution that would guarantee the rights and freedoms of citizens. He said the country would, in the meantime, propose constitutional amendments that would protect family values from what he said was the threat of perverted currents. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. An inflation gauge closely watched by the Federal Reserve remains high. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
The Commerce Department report shows consumer prices up 6.2% in September over a year earlier. Core prices, which exclude volatile food and energy costs, rose 5.1%. That was faster than in August, though below a four-decade high reached in February. The report also shows Americans willing to spend despite the rising prices. Consumer spending increased 0.6% from August to September, and when adjusted for higher prices, it was still up by 0.3%. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Pending home sales have dropped sharply as mortgage rates continue to increase. The National Association of Realtors says they dropped 10% in September, which is more than double what analysts expected. The Northeast experienced the biggest monthly drop. And according to the Tax Policy Center, over 72 million households in the U.S. will pay nothing in federal income taxes this year.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the only time you get to drive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a God's truth.
I know.
And I miss it.
I know.
Every once in a while, I take the Corvette out of the garage and just run up and down the driveway.
Dad lets you guys go on a driveway, but not a Monday. Definitely not a Monday.
I think that he was kind of making fun of President Biden there being autistic. Is that what that was? I think Jay Leno's going to have to be canceled now. Can't make fun of Joe Biden as being like Rain Man. And he's not Rain Man. Rain Man was really smart. You know, with some things. And not so smart with other things. Joe Biden, he's not so smart with everything. Not Rain Man. just Ricky. What? Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome. A lot of news and information to share with you. The big breaking news just moments ago, actually. The 82-year-old husband of Nancy Pelosi, Paul Pelosi. You know, he's a brilliant investor. His very special touch with investments, very, very successful, made a great many millions of dollars on the stock market with no insider trading tips or anything of the kind. And he had that drunk driving arrest recently. It was a little embarrassing, but the news media swept it under the rug. It was no big deal because they're Democrats. But now it turns out that Paul Pelosi assaulted in his home by an assailant now under arrest in San Francisco, one of their many multi-million dollar residences. But somebody apparently broke into the home and violently assaulted Paul Pelosi. Again, the 82-year-old husband of Nancy Pelosi. A break-in, as it's being described, at their San Francisco home. And he was apparently injured based on the initial reports, which are very often wrong, because they're saying a full recovery is expected, which is pretty quick to say a full recovery. I heard on the news that he's getting the best medical care. He's getting the best medical care as opposed to the other kind. You know, not the best medical care, because that's your... It's a roll of the dice these days after Obamacare and everything. But it is a story that the news media is doubtless going to immediately pounce on and seek to politicize because that's their role in our society. And if it turns out, however unlikely it may be in San Francisco, where I remember it used to be like rice-a-roni and clang, clang, clang went the trolley, and now it's human feces and hypodermic needles. You know how that is. Pretty crazy. But the if it turns out, however far-fetched, that it's a MAGA hat wearing, you know, I'm reminded of Juicy Smollett in Chicago. This is MAGA country. This is not MAGA country. San Francisco is definitely not MAGA country. But it is, at face value, you might say, well, it looks like a political attack. It's Nancy Pelosi's husband in Nancy Pelosi's house. So what is up with that? I haven't turned on CNN or MSNBC yet, but I'm guessing that they're pouncing on this and at least hypothesizing, theorizing, conjecturing that it was an attack that was based in politics. On the other hand, San Francisco is a filthy, dirty, crime-ridden city where this sort of thing is likely to happen to anyone at any time because the Democrats, you know, they had that Chesa Boudin as their prosecutor. He was recalled and kicked out of office. The spawn of terrorists, right? He was the spawn of cop-killing radical left-wing terrorists. And when they went to prison, they turned over their young son, Chesa Boudin, to a couple of other terrorists, William Ayers and Bernardine Dorn, to raise him. Now, that radical extremist was kicked out of office, even in San Francisco. They couldn't stand having anybody that radical. That's how radical he was. That's extremely radical. And now they have another just kind of run-of-the-mill leftist as the prosecutor and the police chief and the mayor, of course. London Breed. London Breed is falling down in the... So radical lefty city and crime-ridden and famous for feces human on the sidewalk and hypodermic needles and people sleeping. Drug-addicted, mentally ill people sprawled out on sidewalks all over the city, sound asleep like it's old Calcutta in India. Not improving the city. These guys are not good at running anything. I'm telling you. Crazy. So we got that, but if it turns out it's just another mentally ill, drug-addicted San Francisco lunatic, then it's a non-story. See how that works? This is journalism. It's in the Associated Press style guide. If it turns out he's a MAGA hat wearing white guy, then they'll label him a white supremacist and it will be a big story. If it's a stained, I'll try to keep it clean, homeless, mentally ill, drug addicted San Francisco lunatic where they're building one bathroom for homeless people, and they say it's going to cost $1.7 million. One bathroom with one toilet, it seats one, and they say it's going to cost $1.7 million because they're doing such a good job there in San Francisco. So we're going to keep our ear to the ground on that, and we'll share with you what we learn as we learn more. But Nancy Pelosi's husband violently assaulted at their San Francisco home, suspect in custody, and expecting a full recovery, which presumably means that he was assaulted. And I'm guessing perhaps there may have been police nearby. You know, they hate police until they need a big, strong man with a gun to come in and stop the bad guys, and then they like the police. But he has been hospitalized, and so we'll keep you up to speed on that. There's a lot more to talk about, too. Gallup poll finds that Joe Biden's approval rating is back down to 40%, only 4 in 10 of us. And I want to know what's wrong with that 4 in 10 of us that approve of anything that he's doing. It's pretty amazing. The New York Times with a fluffy story on Joe Biden, how Biden uses his car guy persona, they have car guy in quotation marks, to burnish his every man image. If he's every man, we're all in deep, aren't we? We're in very deep trouble because he's not every man that I know. Florida Democrats, the Politico types, Florida Democrats are facing a brutal midterm. 2024 could be worse. And Democratic operatives bracing for doom in Florida warn it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. And the media, they're very upset about that, so they're rallying around the flag, or at least the pole. You know, they don't fly the flag. But we know that a lot of them spend time around poles. Some of them, you know, procreate. Not to bring Hunter Biden back into it, but hey, why not? The Philadelphia Inquirer newspaper there, I've been talking about them, their staff shredded for saying Fetterman won the debate. Pretty ridiculous. Also, a funny congressional race where the outgoing Democrat is named Mike Doyle, and he's retiring from Congress, but the Republican on the ticket running for the same seat is named Mike Doyle. So the Democrats want to try to clear that up because they've got a communist there running who's supported by all the communists and really the Socialist Workers Party and all that stuff support the radical that the Democrats want to send to Congress. So vote accordingly. If you want more crime, vote for more Democrats. You want more poverty, vote for more Democrats. Herschel Walker on the rise, ascending in Florida. Chuck Schumer got his panties in a wedge when he was trying to explain it to Joe Biden yesterday and said, oh, we're really in trouble. Hard to believe that they will go for Herschel Walker. You know what he's talking about when he says they, don't you? Racist. What's the matter with him? So we got that going on. Elon Musk has finally, at long last, taken over Twitter. He showed up with a sink, like a bathroom sink, walked into the headquarters with that yesterday, and with a funny little thing, let that sink in. See, because he walked in with this. It's not a good joke, but, you know, he's a billionaire, so his jokes don't have to be good. Everybody laughs anyway. That's how that goes, because he's the boss of you. Elon Musk, and he fired the four top Twitter executives, and it sounds like they really needed firing. However, he's going to have to pay them $200 million or more to walk away from their jobs. I'll get into that. It's pretty good stuff. The bird is free. Elon Musk is an interesting guy. I don't expect to agree with him all the time, but I don't expect to agree with everybody, anybody all the time. But one of the guys he fired, Parag Agrawal, who took over as CEO about a year ago, less than a year ago, he's going to walk away with like $65 million. Nice work if you can get it. But you can't get it if you try. And but this guy, he's got all kind. He's got racist tweets. But that's fine. And these are old racist tweets. And they knew that he had these racist tweets. But it's okay because he's an Indian guy, like from India. And they're anti-white tweets. Now, Indians technically are Caucasian, but they're not Anglo-Caucasian. So he's anti-Anglo-Caucasian, which the Democrat Party approves of. They've got a long, long history of racism, the Democrat Party, going back to firing on Fort Sumter and electing, the president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, the Democrat in the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, the Republican in the Civil War, shot in the head by a Democrat who was also an actor, John Wilkes Booth, after the war, and murdered. You know how they love murdering people. So we got that going for us. But it turns out this guy, Parag Agrawal, fired yesterday by Elon Musk. Good. Adios. Hasta luego. See you later. He's going to take his 60-some-odd million and, you know, he'll be fine, I think. But he's a racist, and that was okay with all of them, right? Because it's anti-white race, which is good. That's the right kind of racism. And, of course, ignoring the black genocide. That's the right kind of racism with the Democrats, too. So we got that going for us. A Washington Post media person explains why the Washington Post didn't stand up for a New York Times editorial page editor when he was forced out of the newspaper for agreeing to publish an op-ed by a U.S. senator, a Harvard law grad, decorated combat veteran, Tom Cotton, Senator Tom Cotton, and they forced the editorial page editor out of the New York Times, calling him a fascist and stuff because a senator was allowed to, because they are the actual fascists. They wear armbands at home and they spank each other with great alacrity. Spank me, no spank me. They love the fraternity pedal spanking especially. But they person, Day Late and Dollar Short, comes to mind. At the Washington Post explains, we were afraid. That's why they didn't stand up for the New York Times editor when he was being forced out as a fascist for publishing a perfectly reasonable piece during the Democrat Party looting arson spree that was going on from coast to coast because St. George died of a heart attack. But setting that aside, keeping in mind, of course, that 59% of voters believe that the mainstream media is a major threat to democracy. That's just major threat. If you add the less major threat, the number is in the 70s of Americans, voters, that believe that the media is a threat to democracy. So we've got that going on. Now, Paul Pelosi, this is kind of an interesting coincidence. In Arizona, somebody broke into the Democrat Party headquarters several days ago now. And that's where the great Carrie Lake is running for governor. And she's running against the Democrat Katie Hobbs, who is a terrible and no good candidate, let's be honest. And Katie Hobbs blames Carrie Lake as HQ break-in sparks Watergate comparisons. It's Watergate. Well, you'll never guess how this turned out because, well, maybe you will. But it plays into the Paul Pelosi story in San Francisco as well. And I will explain coming right up. So scratching the surface on a few things to share with you today. And we have plenty of audio for you as well, what being radio and everything. That Joe Biden is confused, dumb, or lying again about gas prices, not bright. And then he lied about the economy because, you know, he knows the news media is not going to call him on it. So go ahead and say what you want. Ron DeSantis jumping in on a number of subjects, from telling your little boy that he's a girl, just to name one thing. And how poorly the Biden administration is doing, since the news media is not going to tell you. We got Chuck Schumer. He's very upset. Democrat running for Senate in Wisconsin, Mandela Barnes. He doesn't like the police. They're an anti-police party, pro-crime. They're a pro-crime party. And they're showing results, honestly. A pro-women rally in Tacoma, Washington. Crazy people showed up. They're pro-men who say they're women. You know, women with penises. Democrats' favorite kind of women. Kinky. And they like to have sex with little children. You know, five-year-olds and things like that. We're at 888-630-9625. AOC, Ted Cruz, and more.
Spank me.
And spank me.
And me.
And me.
Yes. Yes, you must give us all a good spanking.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE. 844-94-BIBLE.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
Finding the right Medicare plan? Oof, no easy feat. Kind of like those dances my granddaughter loves making me do. But then I found Walgreens Find Rx coverage. Lets you compare plans online, over the phone, or in person. Made Medicare shopping so easy. Plus, I found plans with low-cost copays. I can get down with that. When you need to talk Medicare, Walgreens is here. Start shopping today at walgreens.com/Medicare.
If you work remote, Staples has you covered.
Stylish office decor to turn my finished basement into a complete workspace solution.
Staples has you covered.
A desk that's all business, but not too businessy.
Staples has you covered with remote workspace solutions. And now at Staples, save 25% on all desks, storage and filing products, chair mats, lighting, decor, and desk accessories when you buy a chair. Explore solutions for your remote workspace at Staples. The Working and Learning Store. Ends 10/29. In-store only. Exclusions apply.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-529-2856. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-529-2856. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-529-2856. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. For affordable term life, call 800-529-2856.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
And I just want you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase? I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Now, the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, will obviously, and in fact already are, politicizing the San Francisco break-in at the home of Nancy Pelosi and her 82-year-old husband, Paul Pelosi, where he was assaulted and hospitalized. MSNBC says he's receiving professional medical attention, not the amateur kind. Willie Geist on how it's bad if it's a Democrat, but it's worse if it's a Republican.
Yeah, Mika, we don't have a motive. We'll be very cautious about that right now. But
sure,
there
will.
Is a custody, a suspect in custody. So we'll learn that very quickly, it would seem, whether this was an act of street crime, a burglary, a break-in, or something worse remains to be seen.
That's right. If it's just the usual Democrat Party home invasion crime against an 82-year-old, then it's bad. But if something worse, that means he's wearing a MAGA shirt. See, now, if he had been wearing a MAGA shirt, I suspect that would have been in the initial press release. If he'd been yelling, you know, yay for America, because, you know, they're against that, that would have been in the initial press release. Then Mika, she jumped in, and you'll never guess, it's January 6th all over again.
Honestly, and this, obviously, no connection. We don't know what the motivation was, but it's hard not to keep in mind here that Nancy Pelosi's life was threatened during the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
Hard
when
to forget.
People invaded the people's house. Now, a violent attack inside her home.
Yeah. Well, I remember when a Bernie Sanders volunteer showed up on a baseball field in Alexandria, Virginia, with an SKS rifle out of China and shot Congressman Steve Scalise. I recall that was a suicide attack by a Bernie Sanders volunteer against Republican members of Congress. You guys forget about that one? How about the sacking, looting, and plundering of city after city? The burning, the torching, the police stations, the courthouses, the thousands of injured police, the dozens of people murdered, the targeting Trump supporters in Portland and beyond. Killing, you know, but never mind that. Now they're going to be very cautious and then immediately politicize it. Going to be very cautious. That's their definition of very cautious. They use the words, but they don't know what they mean. Is D.C. safe? Coming up.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimate and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Spooktacular savings going on now at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive, where they offer free estimates and are about 30% less than the national average. Mako also works with most major insurance companies. So whether it's a dent or a ding, a minor fender bender, or a full body repair and paint job, Mako has you covered. Uh-oh, better call Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
550.
Now, the Democrat Party's proxies are naturally immediately politicizing the apparent home invasion of Nancy Pelosi's home and multi-million-dollar mansion in San Francisco. Her husband, Paul Pelosi, was there, the brilliant Wall Street raconteur. And, you know, he had a drunk driving issue a while back. It was smoothed over, of course. And you heard MSDNC, Willie Geist, we're not going to politicize it. We're going to be very cautious. And then he immediately politicized. Then they went to Mika, not very bright, who immediately politicized and said, well, January 6th, Nancy Pelosi's life was threatened. You know, Donald Trump's life was threatened by a left-wing mob that laid siege to the White House for 3 days, forcing the Secret Service to evacuate the president and the first family to the bunker beneath the White House designed for nuclear warfare because of the violent criminal mob outside torching the church of the presidents and sacking much of the city of Washington, burning and looting. You know, they started burning and looting and assaulting people on Inauguration Day in 2017, on the day of President Trump's inauguration. And in Washington, D.C., political violence is now a regular feature of life in Washington, D.C. And crime and other violence, a regular feature, of course. In fact, an increasing feature in Washington, D.C. Fox Channel 5 in Washington, D.C. took an Insta poll yesterday, and they asked the question, do you feel safe visiting D.C.? 90% of respondents said no. This is a poll primarily of people in the viewing area, the Washington metropolitan area, of course. And do you feel safe visiting D.C.? 90% no. 10% yes. The 10% that said yes are violent criminals, some of them out on bail, some of them out on parole, because, you know, Democrats, that's the thing. The how do you say yes? Yeah, well, you know, maybe, kind of, sort of. Now, how about San Francisco? I've talked about this on the sea cruise to Alaska a couple of months ago with my best girl and lots of great Americans. We ran into a nice couple of women who lived outside of San Francisco, and they talked about how neither they nor anyone in their neighborhood goes into the city of San Francisco anymore because of the crime. It's so dangerous. And if you go in to the city for whatever reason, you take off your jewelry, you drive, you know, your housekeeper's car instead of your Tesla. Because if you drive your Tesla in, the Democrat criminals follow you home. They track you home, and then they carjack you and rob your house and rob your jewelry and hold your family at gunpoint and things like that. They put Apple tracking devices on expensive cars and follow the people home to the areas outside of San Francisco, suburbs and exurbs, to rob everybody. All right? Now, 90% no, don't feel safe. 10% yes. Now, with that said, just played the MSDNC audio of Mika and Willie Geist saying, we're going to be very cautious, and then immediately politicizing. Oh, January 6th. Now, it's San Francisco. So, once again, remember Chicago, this MAGA country, right? It wasn't. It was made up. This is a crime-ridden city we're talking about with a lot of crazy, mentally ill, drug-addicted people. That flock there to live off the fat of other people's land, right? They're lefties. So on CNN this morning, after MSDNC, we went to CNN. They have a person by the name of Nia Malika Henderson, and they brought her on. Three names, a lot of syllables, and they she's a Cracker Jack Democrat Party representative. And she immediately started, and you'll never guess, once again, just like Mika, January 6th. See, January 6th. But wait a minute. The president was evacuated from the White House after a three-day siege. You guys torched the Church of the Presidents. You guys had a Bernie Sanders volunteer show up on a baseball field and shoot a Republican member of Congress, Steve Scalise, tried to murder Ron DeSantis. He was on the field that day, member of the House of Representatives at the time. Rand Paul. You know, a busload of Republican members of Congress. And your boy tried to murder them all in a suicide attack. He shot police and other civilians and had to be gunned down by the police. That was swept under the rug. That was a one-day story. Right? You guys, we just had a would-be Supreme Court assassin arrested outside of the home of Brett Kavanaugh, who had a plan to murder three Supreme Court justices. Now, you guys have normalized political violence in the United States of America. And here's Nia, if you watch CNN and you get your news from them, Pelosi's home broken into. Let's not leap to any conclusions here.
Let's think about what Susan Collins said earlier this month.
Okay.
The senator from Maine said she would not be surprised if a senator or House member was killed. She had someone throw a brick through her house in Maine, and she is speaking about the overall
right through the
threat
house
that lawmakers feel. And we've heard this from
they
other
feel
lawmakers as well. So in some ways, this is in line with what we've been hearing from lawmakers, what we've been hearing from law enforcement officials as well, that there is this sort of increased atmosphere a sort of language around violence and actual violence, attempted violence as well. So this is deep.
This is deep. It's deep. It's violence and attempted violence. Well, yeah, again, shall I start ticking off all the cities that you guys have burned and looted and attacked and injured the police, thousands of police nationwide, and shooting at least one member of Congress trying to murder a whole baseball field? You sent your assassin to the home of Brett Kavanaugh, where he was taken into custody. Yeah, there's the siege of the White House, the evacuation of the president. Yeah, there's a lot of violence. So Susan Collins is talking about, you know, gosh, maybe she was talking about Congressman Steve Scalise being shot or the assassin arrested outside of Brett Kavanaugh's home or the evacuation of the president of the United States for the first time since the War of 1812. Other than that, I can't imagine. Nia Malika Henderson.
Listen, this has certainly been put on steroids over the last few years, certainly in the wake of Donald Trump's rhetoric, in the wake of what we saw in January 6th. A big example of political violence, attempted violence, violent language, threats of violence, hang Mike Pence, ideas about bringing Nancy Pelosi out of her office and doing God knows what to her.
The Democrats showed up outside the White House when President Trump was living there with a full-size guillotine, and they guillotined watermelons and stuff. They also brought it to the home of the owner of the Washington Post, Jeff Bezos, Dr. Evil, one of the richest men in the world. He bought a museum in Washington, D.C., the Textile Museum. He kicked them out and converted it to his mansion. Because, you know, he believed what he saw on CNN and he thought Hillary Clinton was going to win the presidency and he could go hang out with her and influence her because he's a centibillionaire. And that's how the world works. It's see Benito Mussolini's definition of fascism and you will see the Democrat Party in 2022. Isn't that amazing? So they want to be very cautious and not politicize it. Now, again, if I were there on the set, and I'm not, I might bring up a few of the things that I just brought up here because I have thus far a functional memory and I understand where the source of the river is on this political violence that you guys have normalized in the United States. January 6th never would have happened the way that it happened had it not been for the Democrats normalizing street mob political violence in city after city, and the news media downplaying it as mostly peaceful, which is why we have mostly peaceful T-shirts and coffee mugs at the Chris Plant store. And the left is coming for your rights. One of my great sayings, because I have so many great sayings, that the left is coming for your rights. I was texting with Michael Piercy yesterday, and which we do pretty much every day. We text a lot, you know. We communicate when we're not on the air. And we're going back and forth and looking at the Democrat Party and their deconstruction of Western civilization and capitalism and free markets and gender and what is a woman. We have a member of the Supreme Court that can't answer the question, what is a woman? And I wrote to Michael, you know, the Democrat Party and what they've done. The accumulated wisdom and knowledge of millennia of Western civilization has been torched in sacrifice on the suicidal cultural funeral pyre of 21st century leftist madness. I texted that to Michael, right? And he said, he just kind of shrugged, and he got back to his life. But I was just sitting there texting with Michael, and it occurred to me that the accumulated wisdom and knowledge of several millennia of Western civilization has been torched as a kind of sacrifice on the suicidal cultural funeral pyre of 21st century leftist madness. That's probably too complex for a T-shirt or a coffee mug, but not bad. Not bad. Back to MSDNC, because MSDNC has a reporter by the name of Ali Rafa. Ali Rafa went on the television to talk about the home. Now, and look, if this turns out to be somebody wearing a MAGA shirt, then it's going to be January 6th all over again. It's going to be a story for a year will know every detail about the story. They'll ask for cameras in the courtroom, unlike Waukesha, where the racist, mass-murdering leftist murdered six innocent people, including a little boy, an elderly man, members of the Dancing Grannies. I think it was four women, an elderly man, and a little boy, and injured more than 60 more. The news media completely ignored that attack because he's a leftist black racist, right, who hated everything and attacked a Christmas parade. So that's not a story. But if this turns out to be a MAGA guy, then it's a huge story for years to come. If it turns out to be a junkie leftist with mental problems, then it gets swept under the rug today, and it's very sad. See, here's MSDNC fake reporter Ali Rafa.
You know, this comes at a very critical time. Of course, we're less than 2 weeks from the election. There are so many questions surrounding whether this was politically motivated, whether Speaker Pelosi could have been the target of this attack. We've been hearing for months now lawmakers warn of these threats of violence, especially in the wake of the FBI search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in August.
Yeah, that's because that I can see the linkage there. That's now, again, turns out to be a junkie. The media is going to shrug and say, well, that's just, you know, part of life in the big city. You know, you might have to sacrifice your own life, the lives of your, you know, your wife, your daughter, your women folk, your children. They might have to be sacrificed on the suicidal cultural funeral pyre of the 21st century that the leftists demand. Am I right about that? You bet your bottom dollar I am.
How much for the little girl? The women. How much for the women?
What?
Your women. I want to buy your women, the little girl, your daughters. Sell them to me. Sell me your children.
At it's a DNC meeting in New York City the other day. Now, out of Arizona, Democrats blamed Democrat Party headquarters break-in on Kerry Lake. But it turns out, the Western Journal reports, and the Arizona Republic does not, turns out that the criminal that broke into the DNC headquarters in Arizona, which the Democrat candidate tried to blame, that's Katie Hobbs, she's a fraud and a liar, tried to blame Kerry Lake and her rhetoric for the break-in at DNC headquarters. Turns out it was a self-professed Democrat on his Facebook page that was arrested after the alleged break-in, Arizona Democratic gubernatorial candidate's campaign headquarters. Katie Hobbs had previously cast blame on her Republican opponent when announcing the crime, and Hobbs took aim at Kerry Lake for inciting threats and spreading dangerous disinformation like Russian collusion and how many things? Let's see. That Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation and President Trump was colluding with Russia, that kind of disinformation. Let's go. We don't have a lot of time, but let's go quick. It turns out he's a Democrat and an immigrant, and he broke into the Democrat Party headquarters. So it's another Emily Latella never mind moment. Let's go to Marco, calling from Springfield, Virginia. Marco, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
All I can say about this Pelosi break-in is, well, 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 you know. And if Papa Pelosi had a gun in the house, maybe he could have defended himself. Just saying, for all of Nancy's anti-NRA rhetoric and how they want to violate our Second Amendment there. But I think that if it could happen to a Pelosi mansion, it could happen anywhere. That right?
That's a good point. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Honestly,
yeah.
Multi-million-dollar speaker of the home of the Speaker of the House in downtown San Francisco, mm-hmm. Multi-million-dollar state. You know what? I'll bet there was a police officer very nearby because you know how they try to gut police budgets and they demonize the police and vilify the police, and then when Democrats come along to bash their heads in, they condemn the police for not responding quickly enough. Sounds like the 82-year-old Paul Pelosi got some assistance pretty quickly, and that's good, and I'm happy about that, and I hope that he's fine and the bad guy. Now, you know, the thing is, Democrats will probably release him without bail. Maybe not in this case. What do you think? Release him without bail, loose him back on the public. I this will probably turn out to be somebody that's out on bail or with no bail after having committed a long series of crimes against other people that didn't get national attention. Just hypothesizing, you know, like CNN and MSNBC.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
I'll second guest dinners with friends because they can be interrupted by diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or oily stools. It turns out I have EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, which means I'm missing the enzymes needed to digest food. My doctor prescribed Creon pancrelipase, an oral prescription medication that replaces pancreatic digestive enzymes. Creon treats EPI due to cystic fibrosis, chronic pancreatitis, pancreatectomy, or other conditions.
Creon may increase your chance of fibrosing colonopathy, a rare bowel disorder. Tell your doctor if you have a history of intestinal blockage or scarring or thickening of your bowel wall, if you're allergic to pork, or if you have gout, kidney problems, or worsening of painful swollen joints. Call your doctor if you have any unusual or severe gastrointestinal symptoms or allergic reactions. Take Creon as directed by your doctor and always with food. Do not chew capsules, as this may cause mouth irritation. Other side effects may include blood sugar changes, gas, dizziness, sore throat, and cough. These are not all the side effects of Creon.
Creon is the number one prescribed EPI treatment. Ask your doctor about Creon for EPI and visit creoninfo.com or call 800-633-9110 to learn more. That's creoninfo.com.
They call it the big lie. Repeat a false claim over and over again and soon it's accepted. All this week, Eric Bolling is on Newsmax exposing the big media lies and how they're destroying America. Find out the big networks pushing big lies about Republicans, Donald Trump, and more. Eric names names. He even exposes how the big media polls are manipulated and used to hurt conservatives. You must watch Eric Bolling, The Balance, on Newsmax at 8 p.m. Eastern. Millions are tuning into Eric and Newsmax for the news they can really trust. Find Newsmax on all major cable systems and streaming platforms. If they don't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes just seconds, and you can watch Newsmax anytime, anywhere. Find out why millions are making the switch to Newsmax. Tune into Eric Bolling tonight. Make the switch to Newsmax. You won't look back.
If you want to pay off high-interest debt faster, it's time to refinance with American Financing, America's home for home loans. Get a free mortgage review and learn about custom loans that can save you up to $1,000 a month. If you start soon, you may close in as fast as 10 days. Call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334 and NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helped Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just want you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a brown fan because, what's the phrase, I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
Given that the Democrats and the media, but I repeat myself, are obviously extremely eager to try to pin this, as they so often do, on a MAGA hat-wearing, white supremacist or something. You guys have killed, 12,000 people since the last time there was a white whatever incident, but pay no attention to that. CNN has the latest. Paul Pelosi, husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, attacked with hammer at home. If I had a hammer. Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was attacked with a hammer at the couple's home in San Francisco by a male assailant early Friday morning, law enforcement sources tell CNN. A male assailant. They've ruled out, how do you know? They identify as a male? Have you asked whether he believes he's a male? Because, just try to pin it on males all the time. That's misandry on fire, if I've ever seen it. Paul Pelosi, 82, is expected to make a full recovery, the Democratic Speaker's office said in a statement. The guy broke in and attacked him with a hammer. Who stopped it? The guy's in custody. If the guy were yelling political things, I'm going to go ahead and bet a dollar right now that we would have heard that already. If he were wearing a red MAGA hat and, a DeSantis T-shirt, I think we would have heard that by now. There was that guy wearing a DeSantis T-shirt in Florida who was violently attacked by four Democrats and had his jaw broken. He needs facial reconstructive surgery. That's a non-story because that kind of political violence isn't what CNN and MSNBC focus on, is it? No, it isn't. Drew Hamill, spokesmodel for Nancy Pelosi, said the assailant is in custody and a motive is being investigated. Now, again, they've had him in custody for some time now with any clothing or they said he's a male. They didn't identify the race. You think if he were a white male that they'd say it was a white male? Distinct possibility. That's usually how that works. The speaker was in Washington at the time of the attack. The spokesmodel said, the Pelosi's have been married since 1963. I think that's impressive, actually. I like that. And they have five children believed to be their own. There it is. So a hammer and in custody, a male. I think if they, if it were a frothy political, I think they would have been.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life. Your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.